The Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me talks all the time. I want talks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what it's about you, but I can't even stand your...
He's just a tough guy when he's standing behind a microphone.
I think you're the biggest asshole alive.
It's gonna be a great show!
Let's kick it. I'll say kick it, and you'll just kick it with a tasty groove, okay? One, two, three, kick it. Kick it, come on. God damn it! Put you one time, kick it! What the?
Alan Cox.
Here we go, he'll ad-lib, he'll be fine.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Hey, what's going on, gang? Good afternoon. How are you? What's up? My name is Alan Cox. Thank you for showing up. Hello, hello, hello. Say hi to Bill Squire, who is right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of The Alan Cox Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share a cold one with the boys from a safe distance.
Hey, there's Mary Santora right over there.
Hi, guys.
Oh, there you are.
Come on. Hi, guys. No babies.
Poundcake is back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people.
We're going to dig into Poundcake's new column shortly. Well, it's not a column, but...
Poundcake.
Poundtakes. Is it at the website?
Yep, it's up at alancoxshow.com. Poundcake.
Poundcake. Mm-hmm. It's called Get Out of Your Head. Okay, there you go. So we'll dig into that shortly. I was confused in a text conversation that was going on last night.
And I'm sure you got some clarity this morning.
Well, I got clarity after I read. I got clarity after I read it.
Yeah.
Because I have the original version.
The original version is what is published.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay, good. The unvarnished take. Have you read this, Mary?
Yeah. You printed it out?
Well, he's going to want to read it.
Well, I had to mark it up.
I know. Oh, so he sent it to you to, like, edit.
No.
I sent it to both of them.
Oh, okay.
And I gave them.
Emailed them.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
And okay. And we'll get into it. I was like, nope, I'm going to leave it.
Okay.
Because I'm going to completely demoralize him. Of course, I'll probably do that when we start talking about it. But I didn't want to completely demoralize him, which is what would have happened had I written back. So I left it, and I told Bill, I said, publish it unedited.
Mm-hmm.
Poundcake's unvarnished thoughts. For you, dear customer, we got a call on the after hours line the other day of somebody who was concerned that Poundcake was getting into a rut. And so we resurrected his old column, reposted them from a couple of years ago. Poundcake said he was going to work on a new one. And this is the result of that. So... we'll dig into it shortly. Were you pleased with it, Poundcake?
I think it was a good way for me to express myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I did get a letter, by the way. If you want to join us, do. 216-578-1007. 800-348-1007. 35192 if you want to send me a text. AlanCoxShow.com for everything else. You can watch there, of course. Chrissy's Alan Cox Show Instagram.
Old habits.
Yeah, still there for you. And a lot of other things as well. So you can get into that there. That Alan Cox Show After Hours line, if you want to use that, you certainly can. 216-986-8903. I got a letter from Megan, who is a doctor. I 10,000% agree with Alan. Reasons for why handshaking should die for good.
My argument...
I'm a female doctor.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Squeezing your hand really hard rather than applying a respectful amount of pressure hurts for the hand on the other end. So there's the physical end of it. When men have their nether regions examined, which is necessary for hernia or scrotal issues, they grab or cup their junk 95% of the time. I do these exams for a living. Just let me check without reminding me where your hands were and are going to be. before you sign paperwork with my pen, hand the papers to the staff, shake other people's hands, etc. Clammy hands are no good either.
What was that?
Etc. Clammy hands are no good either. Wash your hands. Stay away from others. That is from Megan, who is a doctor out there somewhere. We were saying yesterday that handshaking should go away for good. Whatever happens in the aftermath of what's going on now, handshaking should go the way of every other antiquated relic.
My argument was that you guys were, I felt you were blowing it out of proportion as far as spreading germs go. And my argument was that touching anything in a public place is worse than shaking somebody's hand.
I bet she would disagree with that.
The argument I used yesterday, which I still say, is opening the door at the gas station, or even if you're going to get a pop out, you know, opening that refrigerator door, going into the beer cave, or any of that has been touched by way more people than the person's hand you're about to shake.
Granted, but you're touching that primarily with your fingertips. You kind of hook into that and open the door that way, whereas with a handshake, you're palm on palm. All I'm saying is I would think that whether or not you think it's overestimating it, I would think everybody would want to do what they could do.
No, I agree.
And there's no easier thing to remove from your life than handshakes.
I don't want people...
This has all done it for us.
Right.
But because we were too stupid to figure it out before now, I guess. But...
I had people message me on Instagram like, I can't believe you don't wash your hands. I'm like, that's not even close to what I said.
Right.
I was saying that, to me, it's the same thing. That if you're going to get weird about shaking somebody's hand because of germs... then just carry that through everything else that you do.
I think that you would think that the company, you know, in a crisis, there's always opportunity. And I would think that the company that makes those alligator grabbers, that you can get stuff off the shelf. For old people, they're practical. For younger people, you just use them to, like, screw with people. Mm-hmm. Like, you go up behind your friend's ear or something. And yeah, right. I would think that whatever company makes those grabbers that might be one that you'd want to invest in. Because everywhere you go, you could use the grabber for something. You'd open up the whatever.
Hook hands. Universal hook hands.
Universal hook hands.
Everybody's a pirate.
UHH. That's right.
They can do the little open close.
That's a good idea. Universal hook hands.
Mm-hmm.
When is Talk Like a Pirate Day? It's in August or something, and everybody has about 5 minutes of fun with that.
For whatever reason, I always forget when that is.
Hmm. Why is that a thing?
Why is one thing?
Like National Toast Day.
Talking like a Pirate Day? Yeah, that's got a little bit more traction than... I mean, look at how little people talked about National Doctor Day, which was Monday.
Oh, boy.
In the midst of all this, who was talking about National Doctor Day?
Probably just the doctors.
Or probably just the doctors.
They may have been busy doing something else.
Doctors' families,
you
probably?
Think they were?
Yeah, maybe.
Today's day 92 of the coronavirus crisis.
It goes, time does not fly.
Yeah, I'm still debating as to whether or not I'm going to pull April off my wall calendar. Because on the one hand, I'm like, well, it is the month of April.
It's still nice.
And if
to
something
look at.
Happens,
yeah.
It's no fun to look at, but I mean, if something happens, anything important's going in my phone calendar. Not really, you know, show things were going up on the wall. If guests were coming in, mm-hmm. if you were out of town.
Did you write Formal Friday?
Didn't
write calendar
in my phone because it's important. Didn't write Formal Friday on the calendar. Maybe I'll do that.
I shaved my armpits for that.
Hey, me too.
I took a shower today, shaved up, getting all ready because I'm going to do the like dry shampoo curled look tomorrow. So I got I primped and shaved and got ready.
Now, why today and not tomorrow?
Because I'm not going to take a shower tomorrow.
Now you know why we're not shaking hands with her, Bill.
My hands aren't going to be clean.
You proved all those people right.
No, I
right,
did not. I said, can still wash my hands and not take a shower.
Yeah,
you
right.
plan days where you're not going to shower?
Yes, because when your hair on the second day is a lot better for like curling and styling and things like that.
Yeah,
when
unless
it's fresh
you're
and clean.
Especially now, unless you're doing manual labor in the middle of the summertime, you don't
Nobody
need a shower every
right.
day. I mean, some people do just because they like the ritual or whatever, but it's not that great for your skin.
Mm-mm. Or your hair.
Or your hair.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know if you were just going to do like a shower cap or something. I thought that's what most girls do. At least like black girls when they don't want to get their tracks wet or something.
After you dye your hair, if you get your hair done, you're supposed to wait like 48 to 72 hours. 42 hours is really specific. Like 2 to 3 days before you wash it for the first time. So when you do something like that, you can kind of just throw your hair up in a bun and wash your body off. But no, I'm nice and clean today. I will continue to wash my hands, but You put the dry shampoo in, get a little volume, we'll start a little to dirty, wash your hands. We'll hold it.
I guess I have to figure out what I'm going to wear tomorrow, too, for Formal Friday.
I'm between three dresses right now.
Oh, boy.
Wear all three and do costume changes.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Every segment, a
different
brand
outfit.
New. That's what I'm doing. Every segment, I'm putting on a whole new suit.
Okay.
Yep.
We're going to make a dressing room out of the side studio. I like it.
Because as it gets later in the show, it'll be closer to nighttime, and I'll have to wear something more appropriate.
More formal as the show goes
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Right, that's right. Like Alec Baldwin in 30 Rock.
Exactly.
I'm not a farmer. You're wearing a tuxedo?
It's after six. I'm not a farmer.
That's right. So I'll be wearing a tuxedo the last hour of the show.
I will bring outfit changes.
No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. But again, you do whatever you want to do. However you, whatever you see as the potential for that. Yeah, so I'll put Formal Friday on my office calendar.
That's something to add.
Yep.
Is this going to be every Friday or is this just a special occasion?
Let's do it every Friday.
Let's see how it goes tomorrow.
Let's see how it goes tomorrow.
I was going to say, I think I only have like five dress outfits, so I'm good for like 5 weeks.
It's usually warmer than it needs to be in this room just because anything south of 75, you get icicles on your face for some reason.
It's never this warm in here.
Please.
It's 77 right now. 68 usually. I know.
It's what in here, Bill?
It's 77 right
77
now.
Degrees.
It's way too hot.
It's like we're growing bananas in here. I can feel it. So there's no way. There's no way I'm sitting in here in a suit in 77. There's simply no way. So,
I won't need a shawl.
No, I think this is broken because I cranked this down a while ago, and it's still getting condensation on the inside of the window here.
I got to remember
spaghetti strap.
When I see Corey Roddick leave, I got to come in here and crank it down because he's a slight little man, so he likes it warmer in here.
Same.
And if I do that when he leaves, it's usually fine by the time.
Oh, he's the one who cranks it up.
He does, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is fine if, as long as I remember to put it back.
Right.
But
or right have a sandwich, Corey. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that way you could withstand
I don't want him
some
to
cooler temperatures. That's true.
Some people believe there's no such thing as a coincidence.
Very difficult to believe.
So our plan for you to hear this is working perfectly.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
+216 578 1007 or 800-348-1007 in here. 35192. Send me a text. Another $1,000 for you to win about 10 minutes from now. 2:30 will be your next chance to grab that money. Just about a dozen chances every day. We're giving away $1,000 about 30 past. So 2:30, 4:30, 5:30, and 6:30 here on the show. Starts in the 7 o'clock hour with RMG, goes till about 9:30 with Corey Roddick. So if you need that money, and quite frankly, I can't imagine a person who doesn't, even in the best of times, you know, you don't have to be down to your last nickel to need $1,000 to go somewhere. AlanCoxShow.com. If you want to watch there, you certainly can. The Alan Cox Show Instagram hotties are there. And the latest installment of Pound Take, which is Pound Cake's new column, well, resurrected. Although I'm not going to call it a column because it's not really written as such. It's more like a journal entry.
It's more like a diary.
It's more like a diary. Do you want to call it Pound Cake's Diaries?
I mean, we can.
Hey, I mean, if it's Pound Cake, it's Pound Cake. I already made the graphic.
Yeah, but we came up with the name when we thought that it was going to be like a column, but it's kind of just a stream of consciousness diary entry.
Well, this is the first one. Maybe. Yeah.
But the other two are like this, too.
We can shape it.
I'm not going to.
I give him some pointers.
What did you tell him?
What did I tell you, Poundcake?
What were Bill's pointers?
Well, but first the misspelling and also show my personality more.
Well, no, don't fly past the misspelling because when you sent it to us over the text. And
he sent us an email. As soon as I got the email, I read through it, and then I text the group chat the misspelling.
He texted menus, and I thought because Poundcake spends so much money on DoorDash and Uber Eats, I was like, oh, he wrote a column about all of the menus in his house, and I thought it's pretty esoteric. But there might be something funny there. He's probably maybe got a new take on it, you know? A lot of people, it's called Pound Take. A lot of people are having food delivered, I would imagine, whatever. So in the group chat, it says menus. And then Poundcake just sends back a facepalm emoji.
Well,
and Bill says, my critiques are sent. So I didn't read what he sent to us. I just thought it was going to be about menus. What I didn't realize once he sent it was that M-E-N-U-S is how he spelled the word menace.
I thought, because Bill was like, is there a Cleveland Clothing Company code for this month? And then what? A half hour later, he sent the word menus in all cap, and I was like, oh, that's the code. Like, that's what I thought it was. Like, he was cluing us in. I was like, what a weird code for, like, a Cleveland Clothing Company, which is not what that was. And then when I read it today, I was like, that's... Until Bill said menace out loud, I was like, oh, that's where he got that spelling
from. I thought it was
about...
Yeah, I didn't understand it. And so I had a good larf when I read what Poundcake wrote,
yeah.
Because then I go, oh,
that's what menus.
Now I get it. The first line of the second paragraph of his submission is, he says, I've been very fortunate to beat the odds in a lot of different categories. I was raised by a single mom and have never been arrested or a menus to society.
I couldn't believe that.
And then in the very next sentence, mentions that he's a college graduate. You should edit that out. Just end with, I'm a black man. You don't need and a college graduate.
Hey, don't drag them into this.
Because the preceding sentence spells menace, M-E-N-U-S.
Now, I have a question, Bill.
Yeah.
Why did you not tell him to change that?
I did tell him to change that.
You said this is not how this word is spelled. It needs to be menus, needs to be menace.
I will pull up my email and tell you.
Well, no,
you did
tell me to change it, but I had already sent it to you guys. I sent you guys that first. I sent Alan and Bill, like, that was the...
So you didn't do any of the things that Bill told you to do?
I didn't know I was allowed to.
Yeah, that's what editing is.
I didn't
They
know-
send you the critiques, you go back and you fix it.
No, but I also told Bill, I don't want this posted edited. Because my initial thing was, and this is what I told Poundcake, because I said...
he didn't give us an edited version.
I said, because what I had initially done with the first two was like, send it to me, I'll look it over. And then I was like, you know what? I don't really have the time to do that. I don't really have the inclination to do that. I'm really caught between the moon and New York City with Poundcake. Because on the one hand, there's a part of me that goes, man, if you could just mold that raw material into something awesome. And on the other hand, I'm like, eh. For what? You know? I mean, this is something fun we're doing.
Well, you can,
but he's a college grad. If you are a 27-year-old college graduate who does not know that the word menace is not that, is not spelled M-E-N-U-S, I don't know what to tell you.
Well,
no
Alan,
amount of editing, or I cannot help you.
Alan, me, you, Poundcake, men us. And
I will do it.
Even that, Bill, would be men, comma, us.
I know. I can't.
I'll do this. If you want to send them to me,
no,
I will.
No, don't.
Come on.
How? Why?
Send it to me.
Because.
Let him write. These are journal entries, if that's what he wants them to be.
Well, here's my critique.
These, by the way, this is my point. You took writing classes in college.
Yeah.
I know.
You're going to be one of those. Imagine those professors. You should send this to his professors and go.
But it was just, it was a mistake. I overlooked it. Like, I.
Spell check. Grammarly.
Spell check isn't going to come up with that.
I simply don't know how somebody. You didn't spell it M-E-N-I-C-E. That I'd go, well
that's
still
menace.
Silly.
But that's what I'm saying. It was menus, and it didn't pop up as spelled wrong. And yes, I overlooked it.
Understood.
It was a mistake.
That's what
and
Bill
it's,
said.
It's
he's
funny.
Like,
it's funny, and it's...
It's funny to us, but it's sad for the world.
But I think it's just funny. Like, I'm not as... Like, what I have more of a problem with is I sent you the notes. Because I did not dislike this article. This journal entry, whatever it is. I think it is a look into how
this
piece. It is a look into how your brain works. But what you're doing is, like Alan said, this is more of a journal entry than a column. So when you sent this to me and I read it, I'm waiting for there to be some sort of anecdote to explain this situation. Mary writes an article for Pressure Life every month, and she usually has an idea that she expresses, and she tells a story to bring that idea across. You just kind of say, I'm in my head all the time. Here's why it's bad.
Which again,
I should do
again,
better.
Ideally, I don't even have a problem with that. But you know I'm a word nerd.
Yeah.
I revere the English language.
So would you say you're your own biggest pessimist?
This is what I mean. This isn't, I understand where you're coming from, that he's like, he is a college graduate and he is a 27-year-old man who lives a life and has two jobs.
On a website that has my name on it.
I understand. Well, that's why you should want it to be edited.
But there's no, this guy has a college degree and took writing classes and paid money for them. If he doesn't know it, I ain't going to teach it to him. But, you know what I mean? There's nothing. He's not going to come to me and go, hey, you know.
I don't mind helping him. I don't mind.
No, I know. I'm saying the exact same thing. Like, I'm fine if you send this to me, and then I will help with those.
Yeah, but then I have to critique your guys' work.
No, but I'm saying to change menus to menace.
Yes,
and yeah, that kind of stuff.
It was a mistake, but like,
but
Poundcake, I love you, buddy. I really do.
It was a mistake, but there's this heaviness that comes through in these articles that you write that is not the kind of happy-go-lucky pound cake that we get on the show.
That's part of it. It has a different tone than how you are.
It has a very different tone, and you kind of explain that in the
That's
article.
What I was trying to get past. Like, that's what I was trying to tell. Just
but you
because,
need
like,
a little more of the on-air pound cake in the article.
And also,
but
a
I
lot
don't
of,
agree with that.
It's also kind of not his fault, because for a long time, a lot of people completely misunderstood blog culture. Because blogging, when it was a thing, right, was best when it was written in your own voice. But a lot of people, because you'd hear, if you read a book that someone's written, you go, oh my God, it's hilarious. It reads just like they talk, right? But that's a very specific thing. So a lot of people just ran off and said, I'm just going to write the way I talk. But those books weren't funny because of the writing. The books were funny because the person starts out being able to tell a good story.
Mm-hmm.
And so they barely have to do any writing. A lot of people just thought, oh, I'll just spill out my thoughts on a page with no structure or anything, and it'll be hilarious, and it is decidedly not. So,
is that what this was?
Well, listen, I don't really have that much of a problem with it. I think Bill's right. I mean, I don't. But again, if you're doing a piece on Get Out of Your Own Head, it's fine if it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it was about. Well, if it was about anything, it was about, hey, don't be so in your own head for other people.
It was the first one, and I didn't want to ignore the elephant in the room on like why I've been spacing out and like why I've been really stressed out and things like that. So I figure if I didn't say anything about it, people are just going to like, oh, so this is honestly just pound cake off air. I already get too much pound cake on air. I didn't know this column was going to be like that as well.
But what were you trying to get across?
Just don't think too much about it. Try new things. Otherwise, you will regret it. You really will. And, you know, I'm a work in progress. So it was the first.
Well, unfortunately, you applied the don't think too much about it to the whole thing. Think more about it would be my advice.
Well, I think you're hard on it.
Of course I am. Because if I didn't care, I wouldn't care. No, but I do care.
I completely understand. And
So yeah, I'm being hard on him. I'm always hard on him. People go, well, he's such a dick to pound cake. Because if he was some putz, I wouldn't care. I genuinely would not. But he's a funny dude. I don't think he's a dummy. We give him a hard time, but it's because his mouth works faster than his brain, right? So he'll say things before he fully processes them. That's kind of his genius. It's kind of his little X factor, you know what I mean? But if it's somebody, now granted, this is kind of an assignment we gave him. It's not like he was running up to me going, could I please write a column?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But again, if he wants to contribute things to the show, he's not writing things for me. You know what I mean? He's not pitching me things. He's an English minor. You should know Menace is an MENUS.
Yes, but I'm saying that as far as a narrative goes or writing a piece of this nature and being able to make it relatable, funny, and all those things, he doesn't have any experience writing.
Regardless if he has an English major or not. We all, anyone who went to college has experience writing stories.
Not a piece.
Structure. Right?
I mean, I wasn't writing for the newspaper. They had me write papers. And
this is why I said I'm not going to go through it, because I knew I'd get all worked up. And I genuinely don't want to. I'm trying to have fun here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know.
But man, I really...
So Mary was saying you think he should kind of ride this darkness.
Here's something that I
like this all the time, though.
And that's fine, though. But what I've learned with a very small amount of writing experience that I do have, about 2 years of consistently putting out different pieces and things like that, your writing voice can be very different than your speaking voice. And I had to learn is very different than my stand-up voice. My stand-up and my writing are not the same thing at all. So I would try to, like, either take something from stand-up and put it in the piece and it didn't work, or try to take something from the piece and put it on Instagram and it doesn't mm-hmm. read the same way as you speak.
I honestly don't have a problem with the tone of this.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if this is how he truly feels and this is what his writing voice is, he doesn't need to add more on-air pound cake to it, because those are two different things.
Was the structure okay?
Structure's fine. I mean,
of this, structure. There is no structure.
Well, I but that's why I'm saying, like, paragraphs and sentences, yeah. But
well, he indented. That's not story structure. Oh, you did?
No, he did.
I did that.
Yeah. But he hit indent. Yeah. No, I'm not even concerned about that. If it's going to be like a journal entry, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, even within stream of consciousness, though, there should be some succinct. You mentioned succinct thoughts in here somewhere. I don't, you know,
concise. Yeah,
or concise. Yeah. Can jerk each other off here for the next hour. The audience should read, and they should tell us what they think. Yeah.
Okay. You can comment right on it too. Yeah.
Is this something that you would click on? And if you saw this piece, would you read this? And what would you think as an outsider that doesn't really know a lot about you?
Yes, I would click on it because, I mean, this is how I feel. I mean,
because of the graphic? Because I did a great job with the graphic.
The graphic is fantastic.
Yes, again, with the graphic.
But people are going through things, especially like right now, and it's sometimes...
No, I think the subject matter is good.
And so, yeah, when I say get out of your own head, that rings a bell to me, because I'm like, damn, yeah, I get in my head a lot for some things that don't matter as much and things that matter a lot. But I get the two confused, and sometimes I make the wrong choices.
So here's... If you want it to be a journal entry, then this is a fine piece. But I thought of this more like a column where, okay, get out of your own head. Here, give some examples of
how to do that.
First of all, why you're in your head. Or examples of times when you're in your head that maybe don't have to do with the COVID-19 situation that we're in right now, where you can relate to the audience and be like, hey, this is a time where my anxiety was real high mm-hmm. and something either funny or ridiculous happened, and then you can grab their attention with that story.
Sure.
And then you can give those examples of how to overcome that.
Yeah.
Because
maybe a pen name. You know, you had Charles Bonita. Mm-hmm. Maybe he should go by Dick Quickly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
But, I mean, I'm happy that you guys think that it was, I mean, the structure was okay, but... When I actually get Alan's approval, I will know that I've earned it. So, I mean...
I'm not even saying that, because like, I'm not... Here's the first line of your sentence, of your piece. It is usually very difficult for me to actually sit in front of a computer and actually type about my feelings. What's wrong with that sentence?
Two actuallys.
There's two actuallys. Mm-hmm. About four words from each other. Yeah.
Now, here's my thing.
It is usually very difficult for me. Usually. Don't need that. So, again, it is totally me being a word nerd.
No,
it is totally me being that guy. But if, again, I told Bill, I'm like, post it unedited, unvarnished, mm-hmm. because it's how menace was a thing, just because yes. That's funny, but I don't want people to misunderstand what's happening there mm-hmm. either. If they read that, they'd be like, what?
Sure.
They might not even know what you meant. Of course, Bill was nice enough to make a Menus to Society poster for us.
Yes, you can see those on my Instagram story.
I did see that.
Don't be a Menus to Society. And
Was that the only thing misspelled?
I think so, yeah.
As I was reading through it, that was the only thing that popped out that I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
And the thing is, I did reread it, but then again...
Did you, though? That was what I was going to ask. How many times, when you were done and you sat down, as far as mm-hmm. writing process goes, mm-hmm. doesn't have to be in order, doesn't have to have any kind of rhyme or reason, these are my thoughts, and then you go back, you reread it, kind of switch it around, see what fits where, what's not necessary, if you're worried about word count. But it's little things like that I don't know that, as not having experience writing, if that's the editing part of his brain isn't there. You know what I mean? Like the sentence, get out of your head, it's not safe there either. I was like, that's a great closing sentence, but it's in the middle of his piece. It's at the end of the first paragraph.
It was the first paragraph, yeah.
So I'm like, that, if, you know, someone who had a little bit more experience writing would know, hey, that's a really good wrap-up. Why don't I save that, put it toward the end?
Well, but online, you know what I mean? it's the title of it. So you see it first on the website.
Well, I titled it.
I
so
feel
that
like
it
he
was,
did that. Yeah.
Well, that was a good move.
No. It was I did it as the title. It was the title of it, but I left out the.
It's not safe.
It's
there.
Not safe there either because I thought that was better to reveal in the article.
But that's what I'm saying. It is actually on the title of the article online. It says it's not safe there either.
Well, that's the way I titled it for the.
Either way, it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that even if that is the title of it, that makes more sense at the very end of the article. It'd be like, oh, okay, that wrapped it all up nicely. But someone with little to no column, article,
well,
piece experience wouldn't know those nuances.
I know, but it's partially grammar and partially spelling and the whole thing.
Well, that there's no excuse for. I'll give you that.
when things don't go my way, I resort back to how I pictured it going in my mind, comma, therein lies the problem. Now.
Is this how this you picture this going in your mind?
Pretty much, actually. Yeah,
resort is the wrong word. And, you know, again, it's me being that guy. That so when I look at something like this,
you
wanted revert, I think, was the word you were looking for.
Yeah.
But, again.
He doesn't like revert because it reminds him of his uncle.
Of Levert.
Yeah. Aw, man, don't bring him in.
I resort to visiting Levert.
Things are going to get real dark.
Yeah. Put some money on his commissary and say goodbye.
Comma. Sari?
Comma, Sari.
Was that in there?
So just anyway. Put some money on his Sari.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's how you should write it. Maybe you should write it like the people that spell quarantine.
Yes. C-O-R-N.
Yeah, T-E-E-N. And just do it that way, and then we get to all decipher what you're trying to tell us.
No, I don't want to do that.
No, I was just going to say, reading you, it's like being in a car with somebody who's speeding up and then slamming on the brakes, and then speeding up and slamming on the brakes, because you'll have like these little flashes of brilliance.
Yes, I felt that too. I was like, okay, this is great.
And then you'll have menus to society, and I don't know what's going on.
I mean, there's no excuse for it, but I mean, people make typos sometimes. It was a mistake.
Like, here's how I think
it went
you
past
write.
Me, and there's no excuse for it. I made a mistake.
Here's how I think you write. I think you write to be done writing.
No.
I feel like there's a lot of... You're trying to get to a certain point and say, okay, this is done. And I
don't agree with that.
That is exactly what I was trying not to do. This was over the course of 2 days.
I didn't feel that
piece at all. I felt it for this piece... The whole thing.
And here's another one. I'm a member of the LGBT community. Poundcake, you know it's LGBTQQIP2SAA. Come on, man. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, but what about all those QIP2SAA people? I mean,
oh, who cares about
two-spirit, androgynous, and asexual are just not people to you? That's what you're saying? Anyway, the unvarnished Poundcake, right? Forget everything I said. The unvarnished, unfiltered, at alancockshow.com. Poundcake. Get out of your head.
Well, next week's will be better.
Am I allowed to help him?
Of course.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want with him.
If you want to send it to me, I'll help you with the editing of it.
Yes, absolutely. I'll totally do that.
Send it to Mary. Send it to all three of us.
And I would have edited it, but I didn't know I was allowed to. Once I sent it to you guys, I thought that was like, because I knew you guys would want to post it,
well,
however it was.
I sent it back to you saying,
I saw it.
These are those things, and I thought you would change those things.
I didn't know I was allowed to.
What
I didn't know Alan would post it.
I was initially going to go through it, but then I was like, well, like I said, knowing myself, I didn't want to change it so much that it didn't. I didn't want somebody to go, well, this sounds like somebody else wrote it.
Right.
I didn't want to do that, because that's no fun. You can always tell when somebody had somebody else write something for them.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it in school. You know, like, you don't talk like that.
So almost what you're saying is that the charm of him and those little parts of using the wrong words and stuff, you want that kept in there? Resort instead of revert? Because
no.
That is exactly how he would speak and how he is typing.
Yeah, but what's funny about hearing him speak is you can usually contextually figure out what he meant. Reading it, you don't know what he meant. And
right.
By the way, I know I'm super nitpicky. A lot of people might not think twice about resort. That just happens to be the wrong word. Doesn't mean anything in that context. But maybe I'm the a-hole. You know? You know that Reddit thing, am I the a-hole? Maybe that's me, right? What do I know?
I'd say it's like an
80-20.
Hey, I'm closing in.
Yeah.
All right. But reading it, you wouldn't know what Menus to Society was.
Right.
I knew what it was.
Well, until Bill said it.
I knew exactly what it was.
Until he said it on his Instagram story an hour ago, when he said Menace, I was like, that's what it was. Because I was like, where did he get, where could he have possibly gotten Menus from?
Yeah. Yeah. What did you get on, I mean, is this how you wrote in school?
I honestly don't even remember, but
did you get good grades on papers?
I did, but also we had like a draft. We would send it in like maybe a couple days before our final draft. The teacher would edit it, and she was like, "If this is structural garbage," she would tell you what was wrong, but she wouldn't tell you how to fix it. Mm. If that makes sense. So
yeah,
she, if it was Menus instead of Menace, she would say, you know, spelling SP. She would put it SP, and then I would have to figure out, you know, why is this Menus instead of Menace?
And that's what I did not want to do. Yeah. I'm not an English teacher. I didn't want to, like, mark this up and go here. Because, listen, we're not sending this off to Simon and Schuster.
Right.
We're having some fun. And, you know, but I also don't want... I would rather have us give him a hard time than have the audience go,
right.
No,
I
dummy.
Understand.
You know?
And also, I was writing papers. I can't remember one time, even though I was English minor, we weren't writing columns. We were reading books and doing reports on those, like, and it would be 30 pages.
No, but in a lot of ways, fundamentally, writing is writing. You know, there are differences between, like, if you're writing for a magazine or if you're writing a book or if you're, those are different, but I mean, but structure and those things are all still relatively sound fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Hey, Alec.
Hey, Alan.
What's going on?
Long time listener, first time caller.
Hey, thanks.
I was actually a professional writing major in college.
Good for you!
Yeah, go ahead.
And I actually took a course about teaching writing in college. And what you're supposed to do is sometimes there's an argument about marking up students' papers because it discourages them against just having them share with a group of people. I think with what Poundcake did, though.
So the argument was the two choices were between private and public humiliation.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, of course they went to public, so I don't even blame them for that.
I want to be like an English teacher, but you are putting it on the website, so, and you're commenting on the spelling and things like that, so there is a criteria that you want. So maybe like putting it out on the radio on the show first isn't the best way to get the best results for whatever column or article that Poundcake wants to write, because it is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm not gonna. The column is secondary. The show is primary. You know what I mean? Like, I got 4 hours to fill up here, so yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm not gonna have a little parent-teacher conference with him in the office. or 800-348-1007. 35192 if you want to text me. And alancoxshow.com for everything else. Of course, you can listen anywhere you like throughout the United States, Canada, and Mexico on the iHeartRadio app. There has a breaking news just come in.
Alan Cox Show! Exclusive news tonight!
Mike DeWine has extended the stay-at-home order until May the 1st.
Okay.
Which I thought it already was.
I thought that was a thing
Trump did April 30th.
Well, the stay-at-home order originally was set to expire on the 6th here in Ohio. Mm. They set it from March 23rd through April 6th. I'm sure there are some people who are aware of that. I was not. I was assuming we were going to be inside for all of April and probably May.
I was thinking June.
June, too, or up to June?
I thought to June, because I don't know where I heard it. That there was like a doctor on TV on one of the news shows that was saying if we do everything right, this was like maybe a couple weeks ago, if we do everything right, we'll be done by June. But
right,
but
we're not doing everything right. Not even close.
Exactly.
Pence was talking about Memorial Day.
September.
We're in a much better place by June the 1st if every American will put these guidelines into practice. We really do believe that by Memorial Day weekend or by early summer, we can be through the hardest part of this.
There you go.
Cocky, did you say September?
Labor Day.
That's
I'm
Labor
sorry.
Day.
See?
Yeah, but a lot of people screw that up. Yeah, Memorial Day, Labor Day.
They're holidays.
I didn't even catch it. That's
like they're holidays, but like not holidays. No one's really like putting up a tree for Memorial Day. But
well, I do. I put up my memorial bush. You don't?
I trim my memorial bush.
Yeah!
Alan Cox Show! Exclusive news!
That weekend, I exclusively for veterans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Right. Bill in Tennessee. Alan, if a pound cake allows all three of you to edit, it won't sound like him after editing. That's what I was saying. I'm recusing myself from the process because I knew I would go through it with a red pen, and that's not the point of it.
And my editing was pretty light in that it I just wanted him to just kind of punch it up a little bit and then also just fix like some of the wording that he used because he says something where he's like, what is the phrase that you used?
My own worst pessimist?
Yeah, own worst pessimist.
Yeah,
it's no surprise to me. I am my own worst pessimist.
He said, "I'm either my biggest motivator or my biggest pessimist," and I was like, "Yeah, that's not the right word for that situation."
Okay, but yeah, it was very light. It was like a line or two. He had
well, Bill is known menace. For his light touch.
Mm-hmm. It was menace, and then like the structural stuff. But other than that, yeah.
Bill and I are part of this Channel 19 telethon that's going on Saturday night. It has now been extended by an hour.
Oh, do we need more content?
Yeah, Bill, of course. It'll be fine. They're doing a live telethon over there on Channel 19. It will air live here on WMMS as well. It was 8 to 10. It is now 8 to 11. iHeart Cleveland, along with 19 News and the Cleveland Cavaliers, are broadcasting All for the Land COVID-19 Relief Live. So a lot of their people are involved in it. A lot of our people are involved in it. And if you're able to help the United Way or the Greater Cleveland Food Bank or the Red Cross, it's going to be to really laser focus on people who need a variety of things in Northeast Ohio. So if you go to WMMS.com, all the info is going to be there. But I got to note that they have extended it to 11 o'clock. So it will be live on 19 News, 8 to 11 Saturday night. It will also be broadcast here on WMMS and on WTAM 1100. But if you want it in full stereophonic sound, FM. So there's that whole thing. I would like to give props to whoever came up with this over at Fox 8, because I think it's funny, and I think that they need to do more things like this. But I don't know who's responsible for it. Stephanie Schaefer, I think, is she the foxy blonde that anchors in the morning there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a couple, I think.
The tiny one?
Tiny one. Yeah, yeah. She's real slight.
Mm-hmm.
And then Todd Meany, who is over at Fox 8, who I think is a funny dude. He's a musician, and I played with him years ago at a charity show. I played the drums, and he was playing. He might be a harp man for all I know.
Harpist.
I thought they did a funny bit over there that I pulled off the television.
For a new daily feature on Fox 8 News in the morning, we're just trying to cheer you up a bit. What day is it? Todd Meany.
Wednesday.
That's great.
He just points to a graph. They do this big build up. He points to a graphic of a picture of a calendar. Wednesday.
I like that a lot. In. That's really funny.
Very funny. Yeah. When I'm at home, the WGN Morning News in Chicago, which is Channel 9, they have a huge staff of people, and they have a lot of viral content and things like that because they're always doing, like, interspersing news with, like, legit comedy stuff and very fun. And so it reminded me of that when I saw it. So whoever's idea that was over at Fox 8, that's very funny.
I don't know if contacts over there. I'll find out.
I don't know if they're going to legitimately do that every day for the time being, but they absolutely should. Yeah,
that's one of those things.
It's just changing the graphic to the day of the calendar. You go Thursday.
It's like funny, funny, funny. Are they still doing this? Oh, they're really still doing this. Okay, we get it. It's Sunday. Okay, no, this is funny.
It's still funny.
You know what I mean, like
you got to come full circle on it.
And yeah, and then the longer it goes, like they've been doing this every day for a month. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is the number one rated news morning show in the greater Cleveland metropolitan area. So whoever's idea it was. I don't know if a producer came up with it. For all I know, Todd could have come up with it himself, to whom I say Mazel Tov, because I thought that was very funny. Now that March Madness is canceled, by the way, America finds itself with a glut of wings. They're not sure what to do with all these wings.
Send them my way. I'll eat them.
Overordered.
All of the poultry that gave their lives in advance of March Madness. And all for naught. For nothing. Murder most foul. See what I did there, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Spelling jokes. Oh, my goodness. Have we gotten to that already?
Already?
Yeah.
For 10 years?
I'm sitting here trying to come up with a chicken pun for sacrifice. I'm like,
I'm just waiting for the place.
What is it? What can I come up with?
There's going to be a place that goes too far with this because they're going to have too many chicken wings, so they're going to do some sort of sale and be like, try our COVID-19 hot sauce.
Oh, you think so?
Someone's going to do it.
Someone always does. Someone always goes
like
too
that,
far.
Yeah, but I
feel like that mattress commercial.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, man.
Oh, the 9/11 mattress commercial.
Yeah, someone always goes too far.
Falls into
the thing is, they did that, 10 years later. I don't know how, or is it 20
years? Like 15 years later.
Yeah, 15 years later. And this is way too current and way too soon to do something like this.
Yeah, but after everybody can go back outside.
No.
I can tell.
Too many people
totally
have died.
See some dumb place.
This is a plague.
Well, there's always going to be dummies, but I also think that the tail on this is going to be so long that there's never going to be a great time. Then again, Gilbert Gottfried was making 9/11 jokes on 9/12. Mm-hmm. So what do you want, right? You got nothing over there, beak claw?
Murder most foul. Don't you?
No.
Oh, I was thinking like you said they all gave their lives as like sacrifice.
Yeah, birds. March Madness.
Sacrifice.
Flies.
No, I don't know, because they fly.
Wings. Birds. Mm-hmm.
Feathers.
Feathers.
Beak, claw. I got
thoughts and birds of prey.
Thoughts and birds of prey.
Word jokes are ponderful.
That's fitting.
I just don't think COVID-19 jokes will stick. It's going to be like jokes about the Holocaust.
Right,
like,
there's a billion memes every day making jokes about this.
But they didn't understand the severity of it. Or
no, every day, like new ones.
Okay, well.
By the way, there will never be universal understanding of the severity of it.
Sure.
Because we'll never really know. We won't know. We'll know precisely how many people die. We won't know how many people have it, how many people might get it, how many people had it, never showed anything, but gave it to somebody else. Yeah. We'll never know.
Chris Cuomo said when his fever was like at a peak, he was hallucinating. It was so bad.
He was talking to their dad.
What, was like 107?
Talking to Mario Cuomo.
Isn't it like 106, 107? Is when
I don't think that's when you start
to hallucinate.
That's when your brain starts to bubble.
Oh, no, he hallucinated 102.
He was like 103 and a half, I think, maybe.
Really?
Yeah. 107. You better hit an ER if you have a temperature like that.
I've never heard of anybody having a temperature 107.
So, yeah, the wing business is totally in the gutter, said a guy from the Northwest Meat Company in Chicago, which supplies wings to restaurants and hotels and clubs. It's like, only way we're selling these is curbside to go, but that's it. We lost 30 or 40 sports bars just in the greater Chicagoland area. And so they have a glut. They have a...
Are they going to drop wing prices?
Here's what
I like the 25-cent wing Wednesdays?
Here's what I think. Is there a way? Because, listen, we are nothing if not a country of innovators and of forward thinkers. Is there a way that we can convert these wings into ventilators or masks? Anyway, whatsoever, could you peel the skin off and put it over your nose and mouth?
If it's cooked to the right temperature.
Oh. Yeah, but then it's going to be so good.
You're going to eat your mask.
You can't eat your mask. But then that would make it, these masks are only supposed to be single use anyway.
Yeah. What about the bones?
A functioning chicken might work as some sort of ventilator, if they could flap their wings.
You take the bones of all the chicken wings, you have to eat them, obviously, and then you put those into a makeshift mask, like Bane, kind of.
Oh, like...
But out of chicken bones.
Like
and
Immortan
then,
Joe in Mad Max?
Oh, yeah.
And then you stretch the chicken skin over it.
Oh.
Yeah?
The bones are their mind.
Oh, my God.
Did I ever think we'd legitimately get to work that in? No, I did not. But thank you, Mary. You opened a door, and I was only too pleased to walk through it.
You
set it up. I got to spike
it.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know what we could do with all that. Bones and, I don't know. But, boy, we've got a lot more wings than we can do anything with.
I think just put the wings on sale. People will buy wings.
I love wings. If I haven't had like wings in a minute.
I had wings last night. Great.
You had wings last night?
Yeah.
At home?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Got them delivered from Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah. Here's why I don't like wings to go. I feel like I like a crispy wing, and by the time it gets to me, it is no longer crispy.
We're all making sacrifices.
Yeah, but that's why I haven't ordered them to go yet.
Oh. I'm not a wing guy, so I recuse myself. But B-Dubs, by the way, their Instagram account tagged Erica in it.
Yeah, she was on her Twitter, too.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Meanwhile, Bill's the one over there consuming all these wings.
She's
what my girlfriend wanted for dinner. I got to take out.
They didn't just randomly tag Erica. She was eating Buffalo Wild Wings.
No, that's what I mean. But yeah. I mean, she was in it.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Why isn't Bill in there?
I didn't tag him.
Oh, I see.
I didn't put it on my story. If I would have put it on my story, maybe then I would have.
I do. I tag every major corporation when I'm doing stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If I'm at Target, I'll tag Target because I'm like, hey, you never know. Could lead to something.
True.
If I'm talking sweet about something, I did that. That worked out with me with Halo Top Ice Cream. I tagged them in a tweet and they sent me like 15 free pints. They're like, hey, we want to contribute to your next night in. I was like, hell yeah, you do.
Oh, it worked.
I had that all last summer, free ice cream.
Huh.
You never know.
Boy, you never do you?
I plan on tagging Vizio because I bought a new TV today.
That's the TV I have, yeah.
I had to go to two different Walmarts.
If only, I'll tell you what, that story would have been so much more compelling had it not been a garbage product like Halo Top.
First of all, fantastic ice cream.
Ugh. Yeah, if you can't, if your body can't handle it, your body can't. It's not ice cream.
It's vegan and dairy free and soy free and all that. I can't have dairy.
All words that mean no, not ice cream.
No, it's not real ice cream. It's vegan ice cream, but that is what I need.
I know.
Just like they say, a veggie burger. I'm like, it's not a burger.
No, but a lot. But those, some of those are legit though.
It's a bunch of oats and stuff.
I'll eat a bean patty. I will not eat fake ice cream.
You don't have to. It's not any... I mean, it's healthier that it's lower in calories a little bit.
Did you find that stuff I told you to find, the butter pecan?
They didn't have it. They didn't have the butter pecan. They had the basics. They had, like, vanilla, chocolate chip cookie dough. They had the...
Everything's picked over right now.
All I'm seeing... Yeah, everything except vegan food products. Everything I'm seeing is just still... Well, that's why I'm saying they should have plenty of the vegan ice cream.
I don't know that they carried butter pecan, though, because that's, like, a pretty wide selection.
You'll notice... This is the difference between regular food products that people might pass over and the ice creams, right? Is that most other vegan products, boy, there's no room on the packaging to tell you what it is because the word vegan is so goddamn big, right? They want you to know. Ice cream, they don't want anybody to know because they know it's fake. So they put vegan in tiny little lowercase letters.
Vegan, dairy-free.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
So for those of you who unfortunately are not able to process,
I wish I could eat ice cream, man.
Have you your entire life been lactose intolerant? No.
It started to get really bad.
It was brought on by cheerleading?
No. It started to get really bad in like 2016 where I would get actually.
Oh, this is a recent development.
Yeah.
Oh.
2017 was the first time I threw up. I ate ice cream, I ate a Blizzard, and I chucked maybe 30 minutes later.
And what did you attribute it to initially?
Well, because before
morning
that,
sickness?
No. I was like, I wasn't hungover or anything. That's why I was like, this is the only thing I've eaten in the last few hours. And it was like pretty quick. I didn't feel well while I was eating it. And then I threw up after.
Huh.
I've stayed away from milk for a long time. Like, because whole milk used to really upset me. And then I started to drink like 2%. And then I would be all bloated and not feel well. And then I went to skim. And then I just stopped eating cereal because that was the only thing I was really using milk for.
Huh.
I never really, I don't know, I wasn't ever huge on cheese. I mean, on a sandwich or a burger or something, but...
Lactose intolerance isn't a true allergy, but it can develop at any age.
See?
Wow. Usually triggered by another medical condition, such as Crohn's disease.
Well, I don't know about that.
You don't have Crohn's, do you?
I've never been tested for it.
Huh.
But I remember it was the day I got back from Atlanta... the apartment I lived in at the time was walking distance from a Dairy Queen. So I got back, unpacked my stuff. It was a nice day. Walked down to Dairy Queen, walking back, eating my Blizzard. 10 minutes in, I'm like, this isn't... Maybe I'm just eating too quickly. And then I got back to my apartment, sat for like 15 minutes and just... Ugh.
I like how passive-aggressive Google can be. Because somebody will ask, do eggs have lactose? And Google will say, since eggs are not dairy, they don't contain lactose.
Right.
Therefore, you can eat eggs. Or maybe that's just how I'm reading it.
No, that's how Google it. They're like, come on, guys. They get asked stupid question, Parganate, all day long.
Can I get Parganate? Perganat?
Well, ice cream, maybe.
How do I know if I'm Prengan? What is the best time to sex to become pregnant?
I love that one. That one makes me laugh.
To become pregnant. You can call the Alan Cox Show After Hours line anytime you like if you're not able to join us live. 216-986-8903 is that number.
Man, what do you think would happen if there were, like, large-scale internet outages, like, right now? Because that would just be fun this time. Have a good one, man.
Oh, there you go. Hey, large-scale internet outages. Well, I'll tell you what, we're used to that here at iHeartMedia Compound out here in the broadcast center. If you don't think, by the way, that everyone in the rest of the world is trying to shut down our grids right now, you are not paying attention. We are flat on our ass. This, if there was ever a time to try to really kick us in the balls with somebody from another country. I mean, they're trying to hack us all the time anyway, just in regular times. Now where we're like focused on one thing, I know there's still people who are tasked with keeping their eye on that thing, but holy cow.
No internet. DVD party at Mar-a-Lago. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
No one with DVDs, everyone makes fun of me.
That's
no
right.
One can come, but I'll be there.
No.
I thought about that, though.
Yeah, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Yeah, that's the thing. Well, people go, oh, no internet. You know, oh, so you can't look at your websites. Maybe you'll have to read a book.
You can't get information.
You can't do anything.
Yeah.
Electrical grids. The internet doesn't just mean scrolling, finding out which friend's character you are based on the vegetables you like. You know,
you are kind of a Ross.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I'm a rutabaga.
I'm a Rachel.
It's everything.
Alan's a Phoebe?
Yeah.
No.
Shocking.
Yeah. Huh. Thanks, Bill. She was the most compelling character on that show. And I think Paul Rudd is... forget it. I can't even talk today.
You all right over there?
No, I'm all worked up.
You are worked up. You're being combative about vegan ice cream. Something that you don't even have to consume. Vegan ice cream, you're being combative about. Yell to Cody, because he doesn't know what a menus is. Are you all right?
This is me. First of all, it's 80 degrees in here.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we please do something about the heat?
I turned it down to 65.
Oh, my God. We got to keep the door open then. We're the only ones here anyway. Do you want me
to open the door?
Please. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, it sounds horrible, though.
Well, it sounds... it's weird. It's
put the garbage can in front of
it. Jabba Joel's going to come out of his studio swearing like... You'll see.
All right.
Can't remember the last time we kept the studio door open.
Last time it was this hot in here.
Yes.
I'm so comfortable, it's not even believable.
How? Like, it's 78
and
degrees.
And I have on my little
You're
sweater.
In a long sleeve sweater.
Yeah, this is.
Did
off.
You notice how... I am.
I don't even know what that means.
You know what it means.
I did not notice that you were a dan.
Listen.
Are you laser gunning us or finger gunning us or whatever it is?
Pew, 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 pew.
Who loves lasers? Lots of lasers. Pew, 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 pew.
Are you feeling stressed?
Me?
Yes, you.
Everyone is feeling stressed, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not alone in that.
No. Yeah. I've had a full-blown mental breakdown on Monday.
This is me powering through each and every day.
Okay.
Right? And I'm trying to... After yesterday's show, boy, I really had to kind of calm myself down.
Well,
after all those Trump nuts calling me and were screaming their heads off at nothing.
Let me give you a little advice, Alan.
Thank you,
Get
Bill.
Out of your head. It's not safe there either.
If only I had... Something that I could consume information-wise that would guide me down that primrose path.
Definitely not my article.
But you can still go to alancoxo.com and read it.
Definitely not that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Not going to help you.
I was kind enough to also put the clip of when Alan yelled at you for being on your phone because you mentioned it.
Yeah.
So you can.
That's right. In reference to the reference point. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is it? I'll take it here in little drips and drabs, right? Is it possible to put your best foot forward when you don't even feel like the best version of yourself? That's a great line.
Right.
Right? That's a good line.
Mm-hmm.
Just mixed up in all this other mishigas in here.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the best version of yourself right now, Poundcake?
No.
Have you ever?
When was the best version of yourself?
Probably in college, because I I thought I was better than I actually was. And
it's so true. Yeah, but everybody does in college. Yeah. Everybody, because you're getting laid and you're having fun.
It wasn't even that. Career wise, like I went from being a freshman to being a sophomore that was running the student run radio station. And like I said, my mind was focused on this is only 4 or 5 years, like I did, of my life. And what am I going to do after this? And so I was determined to get an internship, to get a job. Like even when I was interning here, I was like, you know, I'm going to make something out of this. I don't know how. I don't know, you know, how I'm going to do it, but I know it's going to happen, and somehow it did. So now that things are not-
somehow, I hired you. That's how it happened.
But I'm saying I didn't have necessarily a plan. I wanted to be hired on the show, but there was no budget and a bunch of things, you know, tied into it. So yeah, I got hired, and college. I feel like I ruled the roost a little bit, and then I'm like, wow, I'm back on the, you know, the smallest on the totem pole.
Yeah, I like the line in there. It's no secret I've been in a rut these past few months. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's everybody knows
Did you know being a loud, obnoxious queen has a downside?
You wanted to have being a loud, obnoxious queen. That's loud, comma, by the way. See, I'm doing it again. Radio is what I love and what I thought I knew. You thought you knew it? What does that mean?
I thought I knew more than what I did.
Why?
Because I was a stupid, dumb.
It's that Dunning-Kruger effect,
Bill. Yeah, it is
Bill.
Exactly
that. When stupid people when stupid people think that they're smart, they do a lot of damage. Fortunately, you're not in control of anything.
That's me. Walking in like, I could do CrossFit, what? You'd never work out.
Well, eventually you can. Yeah, it's just you can't on day one.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, yeah, the next installment of Pound Take is for your perusal at alancoxer.com.
This job is very humbling, and honestly, like, I am learning more here, obviously, because it's a professional area, but people don't teach radio anymore. And when I was in my student-run radio station, you said you couldn't believe that I was teaching kids. Well, I was, and I did a pretty good job. And I'm kind of like leading the example because I did get a job after I graduated. But being here, you know, what's the next step?
Yeah, but how did you get that job in college?
Well, I had a lot. I guess I had a lot more drive. And
no, were you going up against a bunch of other people,
yeah,
or did they just need a warm body?
People were gunning for my job. They didn't like the way I ran. I wouldn't say the administration didn't like the way I ran things.
He just gave himself away. But everybody was trying to get my job. They hated how I did it.
The students didn't like me because I was big on discipline. I was like, you don't have to do your air check. Like you can take that. I don't care. Like, this is for you. If you want a job after you graduate, then, you know, I feel like...
Well, not everybody does. Some people do radio in college just to dick around and have fun.
These kids were, and then they didn't like the fact that I was kind of an authoritarian, and they had been there 4 years already. They didn't see, like, a sophomore coming in, taking their spot. How am I going to teach them
that? He ruled with an iron fist.
And I had people...
I'm not going to tell you where that fist was. All right, I got to break
it. He ruled with a rubber fist.
Remember, don't touch your face with the inside of your elbow.
I am not kidding about this.
This is the Alan Cox Show.
This is not voluntary. It's not helpful hints.
On 100.7 WMMS.
A little over an hour away from another $1,000 for you. Not coming up here at 3:30, but at 4:30, 5:30, and 6:30 before we get out of here. A shot for you to get yourself $1,000 and pay some bills if that's what you need it for. If you're listening to the show on iHeartRadio from outside of Ohio, tell me where you do that, and we'll make sure that you're on our Bureau Chief map. Nick listens in Vallant, PA. Dustin is a new bureau chief in Columbia, South Carolina. Nick is in Gainesville, Florida. Jonathan's in Memphis. Andrea is in Tyler, Texas. Hearing about Texas, by the way. They really came late to the stay-at-home order party, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All these red states that thought it was a hoax or whatever. And Texas was among them. Their lieutenant governor was the guy that I played for you a few days ago because he said, hey, we got to sacrifice some grandparents for the economy. I'm sure they'd all line up and say yes. But the agriculture commissioner down in Texas, he goes, hey, listen, there is a rule. He goes, people are saying we have a shortage of toilet paper. He goes, it's not really necessarily true. Just there's a law in Texas that all packaging has to have the labels printed in English. And so he's like, we don't need English labeled toilet paper.
Right.
There's no language barrier for toilet paper. So if we could just kind of find a loophole for that law, we can really get a lot of this toilet paper out.
All labels on everything?
Law for consumer packaging that requires the labels be printed in English.
Exclusively in English? Or English as an option?
Probably both.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. But they're like, that would be a good solution to our toilet paper shortage. Boy, everybody in Texas, doesn't matter what you do, all these guys wearing hats.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do like Texas. We've been there on a number of occasions, and you can... You feel the vibe in Texas when you're there. You know what I mean? It was one of the states that famously did not implode in the mortgage crisis back in 08 because it was very open toward, it was very business friendly. You know, there are a lot of criticisms against Republican administrations for that very reason, but it really saved Texas's ass at that time. People weren't losing their homes, things like that. They've got other problems. I mean, Houston is a city that's exploded. And, you know, anytime there's a natural disaster, Houston just gets slammed because of the way that they've built that city up. Where, you know, if a hurricane comes in, places flood because there's nowhere for the water to go anywhere.
Just a couple months ago, didn't
because
that happen?
They, yeah, because they've paved over, you know, all the grasslands that used to absorb large amounts of water. So Houston has really blown up over the past 10 years. But yeah, when you're in Texas and you're walking around and it's hot and it's dusty,
yeah,
and you can just smell the Texas in the air. Mm-hmm. There's barbecue wafting, and there's a cop pulling you over, and you got a beer in your hand, and he goes, "All right, just be careful." It's that kind of thing, you know. There's a lot of it that's kind of old school.
Texas was on my.
So I like Texas very much.
That was on my list of states for this year. Was
Texas,
to go to Texas
to perform or just to go?
Well, both. I mean, yeah. Ideally, I would go there
to perform.
To perform. That's how I take most of my vacations. You know, take a couple extra days, but it's essentially a paid vacation. You know, I've been wanting to go to Texas for a few years now, and I just haven't made it yet.
Yeah. Well, and there are a lot of places in Texas that are unlike other places in Texas too. I mean, it's obviously
Austin,
it's a very big state.
Yeah.
Yeah, Austin is not necessarily representative of Texas, but it is a lot of fun.
That's where I was thinking. I mean, I know they have a really good comedy scene, and it's a lot more liberal than most of Texas, you know. So,
well, early in my career, I had a job offer from Dallas, and at the time, I was like, "Boy, that would be a big jump to go to Dallas." But it was not just walking around. There's like grown men in hats and boots and, you know.
You don't like that?
Well, it's fine, but it's like, you know, it's fine if you're in the middle of nowhere. But I mean, like, you're in the middle of downtown Dallas. They teach rodeo at the college, that kind of stuff. So I'm sure I would feel differently about it now. But back then,
I was not. You had an upturned nose to it.
Nah, well, maybe. I just, it wasn't my vibe.
Yeah. It
wasn't for me.
It was the vegan ice cream of... destinations.
Dallas was?
Yeah.
I like that look. I like a good cowboy look.
Alan, if you criticize Poundcake so much, why did you hire him? Because I think Poundcake's funny. That's why I hired him. What, just because I criticize somebody means that they should have never been here? Or I don't understand that kind of binary thinking, by the way. Because I think he's funny.
Yeah,
but I always want, people to be,
stuff either.
I always want people to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd feel weird if you didn't critique me.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. You think I came in here and I was like, oh, Alan's going to love this, or he's not going to say anything about it. I knew full well.
Well, no, this specifically, yeah. Alan, I'm 29, and when I turned 25, I had the same problem. I couldn't eat dairy anymore or greasy restaurant meat like burgers. I'll throw it all up.
I've said it before. My shellfish allergy didn't start until like 2014 or 15. I ate shrimp. I would like thaw a bag of like cocktail shrimp and eat the whole thing.
Having a body that's a traitor.
It's awful, honestly. It just my
Excuse
whole
you.
Life.
What do you think will be the next food item to which you'll become allergic?
I don't know.
Ooh,
that's what makes
fun.
Me nervous.
What do you not want it to be?
Nuts. I'm
Love
afraid
nuts.
I'll get like a peanut allergy or something like that. That because I do enjoy a good slice of peanut butter toast. Peanut butter and jelly is a big. I like all that.
Yeah.
Pretzels dipped in peanut butter. That's like what I'm scared would happen next. So I had a friend at that I worked with at a restaurant who he was probably in his late 30s, early 40s, and he was starting to develop a nut allergy. And he said it would like start in his forehead. He would like feel it would get hot, and he was starting to get a little bit of hives on like his face and stuff. And he's like, it's going to be full blown by the end of the year. And
wow.
Then I won't be able to eat them anymore.
Hives.
Might as well enjoy
the whole
it.
Thing.
Yeah.
We were talking yesterday about Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who, among other things, was apparently a photo of him made it look like he had nipple piercings.
Hey, listen.
So he doesn't have nipple piercings, is what you're going to say?
Well, I don't know. I'm on team not no nipple piercings.
He must have taken them out then, because those I've seen, as a gay man, I've been to many leather bars. Those are exactly what it looks like when one of those older daddies leans over the bar. And,
older daddies.
Yes, and their nipples are, because they have a little flab. They have they're flat toes, and they have a little bit of flab, and they have those nipple piercings in there. That's exactly what
they got. The barbells.
Like.
Okay,
it looks
I'm looking.
Like
is this
that.
The picture?
Yeah,
I'm looking at the picture, but he has them on like multiple parts of his boob, though.
That's what I'm saying.
So
I think
he got,
maybe
like,
he's got maybe he's got super bumpy areola.
He might, or he's got weird chest hair, weird nipple hair.
I don't know.
So that's some strong. That's damn. How strong is your nipple hair when you see the indent?
Well, you
in
can
your
see
shirt.
His belly. He's not like a fit man, so it's
areola.
No, he is a fit man. I mean, he might be a little saggy because the guy's like 65 years old, but he like lifts. And, yeah, he's in good shape.
Really?
Anyway, his former girlfriend. Listen, I used to have. Nipple rings.
You did
I thought you
not.
Had one.
I had two.
Oh my God!
Did they connect to your Prince Albert?
Hi-oh!
little
trifecta.
There?
A very brief period of time.
Oh boy!
I was always worried somebody was going to be on top of me and go at them like they were a grenade.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's trying to start a lawnmower. But his former girlfriend—he's not married; he's divorced. His former girlfriend, Sandra Lee, who is a chef, I think, in New York or something. They were together. For a long time, like 15 years or something. And she was very upset at people for body shaming. Now, you'll notice she never denies or confirms.
Yeah.
She just she casts it up to body shaming, which I think
I
is
don't
a
think
real...
I anyone's shaming.
No.
Him. We just want to know the truth.
That's
also,
right.
Side note, how do you date
you
someone?
You got nipple rings up in New York.
That makes it a more interesting story. It's not is body it? Shaming.
I wonder.
But she turned it into body shaming. You wonder what?
I wonder how, like, they were together 15 years and no one pulled the trigger and said, hey, let's get married.
Some people don't need to get married.
15 years?
So well, they're both professionals. I mean, you know, he's in politics and she's a...
That's a long
probably
time.
Probably don't want to do it. They're older. What are they going to get married for?
Okay.
I would just want to take a moment and say, I woke up this morning to a lot of stuff going on online. A lot of stories being written and a lot of nonsense being said. And I just want to say, body shaming is not okay. It's never going to be okay. And when people are out in the front lines working so hard for all of our benefits to then turn around and body shame.
Boy, nice dodge. She throws in the people on the front lines. We just want to know what the guy's got barbells in there, man.
That's it.
We're not
that's
body
it.
Shaming.
I would respect her so much if she was just like, yes, he has nipple piercings, and they're pretty freaking hot, too.
Or whatever.
I sucked on them.
Clean them right. with my mouth. Oh. Antiseptic. Wash them.
Shame on you. Knock it off. Do something to uplift people and make the world a better place. Not take cheap shots. That are unnecessary.
Yeah, you know what would make the world a better place? Finding out that the governor of New York has nipple barbells. That would absolutely cheer me up. That would brighten my day in a way that I cannot explain.
I want to know
just
all
it's
of
so
the elected
strange.
Officials' tattoos, piercings, and that's all.
Have any of our presidents had a tattoo?
I'm sure somewhere they don't. They're always wearing suits and stuff, though. It's not like you see them.
But you see them on vacation. Like they had paparazzi. Obama was like a big hunk in like the newspaper or not newspaper, but like the magazines. That girl, the Obama girl, used to sing "I'm in love with Obama." Don't you remember her?
Mm-mm. Yeah, the Obama girl.
Mm-hmm.
Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, was the only president to have a confirmed tattoo on his body.
What
Roosevelt.
Was it?
Don't know.
Muppet baby.
What tattoo
butt.
Did Teddy Roosevelt have?
Ask me about my canal.
It's the Tennessee Valley Authority. He had his family crest tattooed on his chest.
Wow.
The whole, I hope it's the whole chest.
He had a chest,
big
piece.
Chest piece. Yeah.
That's Teddy Roosevelt, man. Yeah. Other rumored tattoo presidents include a tomahawk on the inner thigh of Andrew Jackson. That's a little problematic.
I think at the time.
On the inner thigh, though, yeah. of all the places.
But didn't he, like, kill a bunch of Indians, too? I mean, isn't that what he's known for? Want to see what I did it with? Let me spread my legs. All right.
It's a blanket.
They call it the hammer.
Oh, it's a blanket. Yeah. What is POX short for? Nothing. Did Ronald Reagan have a tattoo? Yes, but he could never remember where it was.
It's jelly beans.
Right. So there you go.
Interesting.
Teddy Roosevelt. Now, what I'd like to know is, more importantly, how many people have a tattoo of Teddy Roosevelt on their body?
Ooh.
Right?
Or presidents in general?
Sure.
I knew a kid in high school that got Ronald Reagan tattooed on his arm.
Abe Lincoln's probably a big one.
I hope that that person is homeless.
He did. He was like a punk rocker, and he did it as a joke.
Wait, who sure was it? Was. Who did they have on them?
He was, a big Dead Kennedys fan.
Yeah.
Big Jell-O Biafra guy.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy Roosevelt. Was he the walk tall and carry a big stick, speak slowly and carry a big stick guy?
Walk softly and carry a big stick.
Walk softly and carry a big stick. All right.
That'd be a good tattoo.
Yeah.
And he has it right above his
junk. Big stick?
Yeah.
This is me walking softly, mm-hmm. and here's my big stick. Yeah, all right, well, there
and
you
don't
go.
Leave home without it.
Yeah.
A lot of people have Teddy Roosevelt tattoos.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, you type that into a Google search.
Okay, and for what reason do you think?
Because he looks like the guy from Wild Wild West, probably.
The guy from Wild Wild West?
Doesn't he?
I assume you're talking about the movie.
Guy?
Yeah, the white
Kenneth
guy.
Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah.
The villain?
Or am I thinking of Night at the Museum?
I think you're thinking of that.
Robin Williams.
And that's Robin Williams, homie.
Because he played...
Robin Williams playing Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, my God.
Hey, looks like that Night at the Museum guy.
He nailed it, is what I'm saying.
Robin Williams played Teddy Roosevelt.
R.I.P.
Roosevelt.
Yeah.
That would be the one I would get tattooed.
Okay.
How do you say his last name?
Roosevelt.
Okay.
Roosevelt.
Roosevelt. Alan?
He keeps saying Roosevelt.
Oh, me? Roosevelt?
Yes.
Well, it's two O's. Is it not Roosevelt?
It doesn't matter.
It's just like Worcester.
Worcester?
Well, I mean, I had friends that went to Roosevelt High School.
Roosevelt.
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 Mm. I've never heard someone say Roosevelt.
Well, you can't say that anymore, pal.
I know.
No, I get it. People probably say Roosevelt, but, I mean, it's two O's. You're going to besmirch that second O?
Yes.
On Teddy Theodore. We call him Theodore, too. Theodore Roosevelt?
Theodore Roosevelt.
Are you mispronouncing the whole thing?
Theodore Roosevelt.
Theodore
I call him
Roosevelt.
Can I just have that?
You can have whatever you want. You're having a day. You can have whatever you want.
Stop being such a menus. So it's... See, you can... I'll allow Roosevelt, but mm-hmm. you're not going to tell me that Roosevelt is wrong.
I'd say it's wrong. I've always heard it pronounced.
Well, things aren't always pronounced
Roosevelt.
How they...
I've heard a lot of things pronounced the wrong way, but I sound like the a-hole when I correct people, because so many people people hit me up, they'd be like, such a word nerd, how come you don't say fort instead of forte? I go, because nobody knows that that's what it is. So if I say that, I sound stupid, because everybody else is dumb.
There's how to pronounce
So I've
Roosevelt.
Given up on
and,
some words.
And it's become forte over the years.
No, it hasn't. It's
yes,
still
it has,
fort.
Because
mispronouncing it.
Because it also sounds better as forte. It's not my fort. Then you just think of someone with a bunch of blankets and pillows stacked up.
Well, that's fun, too. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, after a long period of time, if enough people mispronounce something, that's how it becomes pronounced.
Exactly. Roosevelt.
Roosevelt, Bill.
Roosevelt.
How did Robin Williams pronounce it in Night at the Museum?
I never saw the movie.
I actually haven't either.
Wow, I've seen that. You guys haven't seen it. I've seen it.
No, I never watched that one.
Oh, okay. First one was quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
Mm.
Didn't see the second one.
Well, on TheodoreRooseveltCenter.org, I pulled up a thing that says the president was accused of mispronouncing his own name.
Boy, imagine that. You're accused of mispronouncing your own name. Jacques!
That sounds like something that they would do with Obama. Like, oh, it's not pronounced Obama.
Right.
There's like
it's Obama.
There's like an article, a really old article.
I guess it would have to be. It's about Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Roosevelt.
All right, it's subject to over 200 variations of pronunciation.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Well, then mine's one of them. Yeah. Then I'm not wrong. Here.
The president pronounces his name Roosevelt in three syllables.
Okay.
And that's, yeah.
Well, Roosevelt is still three syllables.
But you'd have to see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Roosevelt. Roosevelt.
All right. Well, what is it, Dutch? What's the etymology of that? Anyway, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Will you feel better if I say Roosevelt?
A little bit.
Yeah, a lot. I feel a lot better.
So, Teddy Roosevelt.
Thank you.
But FDR is still Franklin Delano Roosevelt to me, Bill.
Ugh.
All right? Right. I'll give you Roosevelt, but I'm taking the other Roosevelt.
Well, at least then I'll know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. That's right. Hey, did you see that Roosevelt documentary? No, I was watching the Roosevelt one a couple of nights ago, though.
Not a kicky footer.
Not a kicky footer. No.
Those legs weren't moving anywhere.
That's right. So again,
we've
gotten no confirmation or denial on the Andrew Cuomo nipple piercing situation. I don't know why his ex-girlfriend felt compelled to post some video if she's not going to give us new information. If you're just posting that to hector us about what we should be doing, fine. Do that on your own time, right? We want to know if this guy is sporting some metal under there.
I think he is. Put me in team nipple piercing.
Okay. I don't think so, because based on the pictures that you see, there's a lot of bumps around it. So I'm wondering if he just has, like, moles or something.
I would think that as the governor of New York, especially now, this might not be the time that you would want to wear a shirt that would show off your nipple piercings.
Oh,
you're,
right.
You're trying to kind of focus the conversation and not make yourself something else.
I don't know. They look like barbells to me.
All right.
But
I mean, you could
I see,
be right.
I see the ones where it is
see what
more?
I'm talking about? There's like five of them. There's like two that look like barbells, and then there's like three more smaller ones around it. So unless he's got dream catchers under there, like attached to his
maybe he stapled up or something. Maybe he has like a defect that we didn't know of, and he had like surgery and he doesn't want us to know.
Might be.
And it sticks up his nipples. And that's just there to keep them together.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stitch-a-Nip.
Wow.
Where's that show? I'd watch that.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, Alan, this is Scott.
Hey, what's up, Scott? How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm good.
You guys are talking about presidents, and I happen to be one of the few that do have a tattoo of a president, and it's James A. Garfield, our 20th president.
James Abram Garfield on your body?
James A. Garfield on my my forearm, actually.
Why?
And why?
So 10 years
Because he
ago,
was assassinated?
Well, twice. So,
he was assassinated twice, Bill. This is a little known fact
in his character.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you remember, about 10 years ago, the head of James A. Garfield was beheaded at Hiram College. And I happened to be the...
You mean the statue?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was our ongoing joke, was he was the only president to be assassinated twice.
I see. Wasn't he killed by... He was killed by a disappointed office seeker, yes?
Yes, he was.
He was assassinated like it wasn't even a year into the term.
He was shot, but he didn't die right away. He had like 3 days in the hospital or something like that.
Wow, all right.
So why is he tattooed on your body?
Because the statue where he went to school had that head decapitated. He said he's the only president who's been assassinated twice.
Yeah, Simpsons did it.
Where on your body is it?
It's on the inside of my forearm. It was me and one of my other friends decided it would be a funny prank because he was big into the Simpsons, so... We did Bart Simpson proud by taking the head of James A. Garfield because he took the head of Jebediah Springfield.
Is it big or is it just like a little thing that's there?
No, it's my entire forearm.
Wow, look
just
at
his
that.
Head.
It's like a black. It's a black and gray tattoo of his head and then a rose underneath of it.
What did it cost you?
Actually, it wasn't as much as you would think. One of my buddies is a tattoo artist, but it was about 180.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
No, it's not. I'll send you guys a photo.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you, Scott. There's Scott out in Kent. He's got that James A. Garfield tat right on his forearm.
Take it easy, Scott. Remember, a noble spirit embiggens the smallest man.
I was going to say, I hate Mondays. Garfield said that, right?
Yeah, he sure did. Love lasagna.
That's what should be under there, not a rose.
I love lasagna. Boy, I'll tell you what.
On that, about why he... loves lasagna and hates Mondays.
How did you come across a theory about Garfield the cat?
There's a lot of time to be on the internet right now.
He ate so much lasagna at Sunday dinner that he was in a food coma for Monday.
No, his parents were killed on a Monday.
Wow, that is not where I was going.
That makes
it.
Killed, not just hit by a car, they were killed. Mm-hmm. You mean by someone else or by happenstance?
Murdered.
They were murdered. Killed. So now he hates all Mondays.
Yes.
Right, but how do you account for the lasagna?
I can't remember what the lasagna part was. It was something like, and they were...
They didn't make his parents into lasagna.
No, no, because it was something that was like, lasagna was like the memory that he had, and so he loves lasagna as a tribute to his parents.
So the whole
were murdered on a Monday.
I see, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, Garfield is, there's a Batman analogy there.
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to go with... food coma. Makes me feel a little better.
Then parent murder?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. Well, potato, potato. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan. Hey, everyone.
What's going on, John?
Not much. I wanted to say thank you, first off, for providing some sanity to everyone else out there.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yep. Bill, I just wanted to point out, attention to detail, you are being amenus to Teddy Roosevelt's quotes. It was not walk softly, it was speak softly.
Speak softly.
Yeah, well, I wasn't doing him any favors either. Bill was trying to save me on that one.
I thought it was walk softly.
But shame.
It
was instead softly. Of walk hardly?
Shame.
Walk the opposite hardly. Of softly. Loudly?
Walk hardly and carry a tiny branch.
Hardly walk. That was the other Roosevelt.
Walking well, hardly or hardly walking.
Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that.
Shame. All right. Thank you, John.
Shame.
It's John. All right.
Menu.
Speak softly and carry a big stick.
Oh.
Words to live by, right?
Walk softly is like when you're sneaking to the fridge. Bing, 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 bing.
To join us live or 800-348-1007. And you can leave a message anytime on the Alan Cox Show After Hours line. That is 216-986-8903. And, of course, you can shoot me a text, 35192 in here. About 40 minutes from now, closer to 4:30 is going to be your next shot to grab $1,000. About 30 past, just about every hour, about a dozen chances every weekday for you to get yourself $1,000, help with bills or whatever else. Saturday night, by the way, is going to be a live telethon called All for the Land COVID-19 Relief Live. This is going to be Saturday from 8 to 11 p.m. on Channel 19. It'll be simulcast here on MMS and on WTAM 1100 with a lot of us involved in this. Cavaliers are a big part of this as well. Some Monsters players and coaches are going to be part of this. Josh Cribbs and his wife, they do that show Cribbs and the CLE. There's going to be some interviews and there's going to be musical performances and there's going to be a lot of good stuff. It is to celebrate, of course, thank local heroes and organizations that have been working their hardest in Northeast Ohio. They've been indispensable. And it's also to generate funding for the United Way of Greater Cleveland, Food Bank of Greater Cleveland. So it's hyper-focused on Northeast Ohio, obviously. So that is this Saturday night. You'll hear it here on MMS. You can see it on Channel 19.
Hate speech free as well.
Hate speech free.
I mean, we probably don't have to mention that, but I feel like, you know, now you know, for sure.
I think any time that you can mention that as a hook, you should do it. They're also encouraging people to send a photo or a video of someone they know who is essential to keeping Northeast Ohio going. So whether it's doctors and nurses, or first responders, or grocery store employees, or basically anyone.
Hey, if someone's staying home, they're helping.
Yeah.
So it could be anybody.
And there's an email address there you can send something. But the entire exhaustive bit of information for you is at WMMS.com. You'll see the thing there for All for the Land COVID-19 Relief Live. It is Saturday night from 8 to 11.
Did see some article.
I hope you'll join us.
Some article today that was about a DoorDash employee that took a sip of someone's drink before they dropped it off. And they got caught on camera.
Cody. He lives off that. Not saying that all delivery people do that.
Yeah, but you probably don't get drinks, do you?
A lot of these people do.
If I do get drinks, they're sealed.
Like, I would never get like a 20-ounce pop or something?
I would never get a drink from a delivery service. Like a bottle
of pop. It comes bottled, so I would know if the seal's broken.
Yeah, that's
probably better than getting, like, a fountain beverage.
Yeah, this is like a fountain drink that they like cracked the top off, took a sip, put it back on, and then delivered it.
But how still, did that get caught on camera?
Because they had a Ring doorbell.
Everybody has cameras now.
They did it while they were waiting at the person's front door. Yeah. Not even in the car?
Mm-hmm.
The audacity.
So you know he probably did it the whole way there.
Yeah, I don't think we're dealing with Mensa candidates here. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah.
So
we're dealing with essential people, though.
Yeah, essential people.
Oh, they're essential people.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Man, it's hot in here.
I don't really get drinks.
It's almost 80.
It says 65. I don't know what you guys want me to do.
It's almost 80. Hit the on button.
I think it's broken.
Maybe you have a fever. Maybe you guys should go home.
No, it's not a fever.
The button doesn't move.
The room is hot, not us.
The room is hot. Just, just hit it once.
I did.
And just leave it.
It's fine. I think that the thing is,
It gets busted from time to time.
Getting all pissy with me.
Well, no one's.
Well, it's hot in here,
no,
so
I
now I'm getting
it.
I know you
Now imagine feeling like this every single day, only cold.
No, cold is different.
I'm saying that's how uncomfortable and annoyed I am every day that I come in here and I'm freezing cold. So suck it. You're allowed to be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
for
but
one
you
day.
Can keep putting blankets on yourself. We can't get naked in here.
I understand.
Much to the chagrin of the audience, I'm sure.
Do it. Yeah. Naked potty. Hey, Elinka.
You already said.
You didn't tell me. I said that if it were warm in here every day, I would dress sluttier.
Sluttier.
Because this guy's all live stream numbers. Views. And I was like, make it 75 degrees in here. But I didn't know that before I got dressed.
I have a feeling that the building itself doesn't have the air on.
Oh, I
because
didn't
we're the only ones
that.
Here.
Yeah.
You're cutting expenses. That's right.
Well, not even that. I mean, they're like, why are we going to cool the building down if nobody's here, you know?
Because we're here.
Open the window.
We're essential people. We should be essentially comfortable.
We could put a fan in here. I mean, I'll bring a fan.
How is your room hot and my room's not hot? And my room's so much smaller.
You're not in the same thermostat the same that we are.
I'm going to check Rachel's studio and see what it is.
Because, yeah, you guys are in the same one over there. It is. Yeah, it's approaching 80 degrees.
Again,
we were talking about Robin Williams playing Teddy Roosevelt in Roosevelt. Sorry. Teddy Roosevelt.
You just said you're going to change your ways. Don't go back on it.
Bill,
just,
I need 21 days to develop a new habit.
Be
right?
better, okay?
Thank you.
Do better.
Do better.
You got my magnet.
I have a magnet to that effect on my refrigerator. Stephen Cann points out that this August, it'll be 6 years since Robin Williams died. Mm.
I watched a documentary on him. It's so sad, everything that was going on in his life at that time.
Yeah.
What was going on?
I mean, they said he had other diseases besides, like, dementia, and then that was... He had attempted suicide before.
He was a guy that tried to make everybody else happy, but was really pretty miserable inside.
He said, they said before he hung himself, he actually slit his wrist to see if he could take the pain of like trying to commit suicide. So he slit his wrist, but not to kill himself, but just to test it, I guess.
Like he didn't go too deep. He just wanted
hesitation
to...
marks
because they found like the knife and like his blood trail all around. And they're like, but he hung himself. So it was just a bunch of different things. It was really
bleeding
sad.
Out would take so long.
I think that's
you would
why
think.
He didn't do it.
I actually don't know how long it takes if when you slit your wrist to bleed out.
I think it would take longer from your wrists than it would somewhere else. I mean, if you slice a major artery, your carotid or your the one in your leg, femoral artery, something like that, you're going to go pretty quick. But I think if you you really open them up, you know,
you have to go long down ways.
Got to go long ways
down the river, not across the road. It's like never eat soggy Wheaties. You know, you learn things to remember the important things in life.
What My Chemical Romance song taught you that?
No, I had a friend in sixth grade who cut, and she was like, she did it for attention. I mean, I'm not saying she wasn't depressed, but she was that type of person who like
she liked when people saw.
She
it.
Had all she like refused to wear some people who would cut. I mean, this was when wristbands were a really big thing too. Yeah. That everyone just wore the wristbands from like Hot Topic and whatever. She wouldn't refuse to wear wristbands. She would just like show her dark hair, makeup in her face. Like
I tell you what now.
Huh?
What you doing now?
She has a job. She came to a show, actually, like 2 years ago, and I hadn't seen her.
She's a chef, really Bill. She took those cutting skills and made a career out of it.
There is nothing sadder when you see someone who is supposed to be, like, punk rock or whatever, and then, like, they look like their hair is almost, like, balding or, like, raw because they dye their hair so much. And I didn't realize, because there was this
one... That is punk rock.
But, like, he was dyeing it black, and then I was just like, why do you wear your hair like that? He's like what? And I'm like...
All shaved in the middle. Why? Why do you wear your hair?
What are you doing?
He wasn't
there?
Losing it. I think his hair was just falling out from all the dye. But he was like, "It's just a look." And I'm like, "That's a look."
Was it falling out from all the dye, or was he like super skinny?
He was super skinny, and I think it was falling out because of the dye.
Could have been malnourished. Because when you are starving yourself like that, your hair gets real thin.
He was tall, but he was a dick though. I hated that guy.
And that is punk rock too.
Let
boy, this guy was—he
was committed.
He was keeping it 100.
Like he was telling me how gay and black I was. I was like, well, that's why your parents got divorced and it's your fault. And then after that, he wore nothing but black. After that,
it's kind of hard for you to hurl, parent
I'm black
stuff.
And I'm gay.
Why?
Because your parents aren't together.
But the thing is, my parents were never
married.
They were never married. Yes, so I didn't cause anything. They hated each other before I was born.
So I just called in this writer from, just getting in there.
That's right.
That's like reading Poundcake's article.
my emo friend taught me the down the river, not across the road thing.
Yeah.
And her cuts were across the road. Yeah. That's how you knew they were.
Well, that's how you know, right? Still a cry for help.
Still a cry for help.
If you're doing that for attention, you've got my attention.
Yeah.
Hey. O.J. Simpson wanted to weigh in on Tiger King. He figured, hey, everybody else talking about Tiger King, why not me?
Yeah, why not get an expert?
If you follow O.J. on Twitter. Boy, this guy has got no shortage of opinions. I think he figures, look, there's got to be a statute of limitations on people caring if I'm a double murderer, so I'll weigh in on another murder. And a large portion of Tiger King, or at least a subplot of it, is that there is a certain belief that the woman Carol Baskin murdered her long-missing husband by feeding him to one of the tigers. He was a millionaire who just one day disappeared. She says, ha ha ha, it's so silly, people are so stupid, why would I ever, he just up and disappeared. So, I don't think she fed him to a tiger, but I think somebody did something. Because this guy just hadn't shown up. He left his family to go run off with Carol Baskin. And so, they're talking to his family, his grown daughters, and they're all upset because they never saw the guy again.
And they also lost a bunch of money.
And thought that she killed her.
Yeah, they didn't get like the inheritance, right?
Yeah, that too.
They got like a
she got like 80% of it. Yeah. They between the two daughters and the mom, it was like they all split 20% or something.
Yeah.
And how is a family going to live on 20% of millions of dollars?
Well, you tell us, Alan.
Really, really. I live on 100% of millions of dollars, Mary.
So that's easy.
There's no way to know what the math is, Bill.
Nope. Can't do it.
So OJ is on team, yeah, she murdered her husband.
Takes one to know one.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, boy, you look in the mirror, and there's something there. You've got some information, psychologically, that we don't have.
People in my case ask me to watch some show called Tiger King. Well, yesterday I watched this show, and oh my God, is America in this bad a shape? I watched about 6 episodes of this
hot take
show, and I couldn't even believe what I was looking at. White people! What's with you and wild animals? Leave them animals alone. The show is crazy, but it's so crazy.
White people. Like that white guy, Mike Tyson, who was way into tigers for a long time.
Yeah.
Remember that guy? That white guy, Mike Tyson? Huh?
I mean, the show's about white people.
Yeah.
Kind of keep watching. One thing I will say, there's not a shred of doubt in my mind that that lady's husband is Tiger Sushimi right now.
Tiger Sushimi right now. I think it's Sushimi. She's a menus to this whole world.
I think sashimi was probably the word he was grasping for. But there you go. OJ's take on Carol Baskin. And, you know, there's been some back and forth because of the popularity of this show on Netflix. There has been more focus now put on this woman. They're like, maybe somebody should look into this again. But I was reading this long article with like the sheriff in Tampa down there. And he's like, look, I know everybody's excited about this, but we've already done this investigation.
I already took my bribe and things are done.
Listen,
we've looked this way and that.
She gave me the highest color shirt. I'm allowed to walk around the park whenever I want.
That's right.
That'd be great if he's doing this interview while he's petting a tiger. He's like, listen, nothing happened. Me and Carol are friends. Everything's fine.
Yeah. I don't know why everybody's got to keep bringing up stuff. It happened 20 years ago.
I have the season finale left of that. I watched episodes 5 and 6 last night.
And your thoughts?
It's great. I mean, it's one of those where it's, I had to do, again, I'm doing that workout, right?
Yeah.
Last night was supposed to be 143 squats because Joe's name is one squat every time they say Joe's name. And this was about like him going to jail and everything like
sure
that.
Sure, a lot of Joe's.
It's so many Joe's. 143 in 2 45 minutes once. But I'm excited. I want to know what happens with this Jeff Lowe guy and like taking over the zoo while Joe's in prison.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they that they do more with all that B-roll they said that they've got.
I just watched the episode, the one last night where the dude are we just doing spoilers on this now? Do I have to say spoiler alert?
I mean, I can play it for you. Hold on. For everybody who hasn't watched the whole thing yet.
Don't turn us off, turn the radio down.
Oh, God bless it. I just like to give people enough time to be aware that, okay.
When a dude shot himself in the head.
Yeah.
And it was just like you saw the guy's reaction, and I was like,
that's what I said, and he does the Macaulay Culkin, and he just goes,
I know, he puts his hand on his face and he's just sitting there and you can see him mouthing. He's like, Travis. Yeah. Travis. And like,
and
then
the fact
he comes
that
back.
He thought it was a joke.
Well, he's like, he said, as soon as he pulled the trigger, I knew that he was dead. He's like, I know what happens when you do that. He's like, but I was in disbelief.
You're in shock.
Yeah. That was, I couldn't believe that they showed, like, you saw the light from the, oh
yeah.
My God. Mm-hmm. That was nuts.
They didn't show anything, though.
They showed the light, like, you could see the light from the gun, you heard it.
Mm. I must have missed the
flash. All the footage, man. All the footage that they have. And they have, like, bonus footage. Apparently, there's going to be a sequel to all their major releases on Netflix like that. Apparently, Beyonce visited the zoo. That's why I heard she was a visitor at his zoo. So they have all these celebrities visiting this place, and now they're going to be pulled into this mess.
And not that he would know it was wrong, but I did get a good laugh at Joe not knowing that embezzlement was illegal. That made me laugh when the dude was like explaining to him. He's like, you can't write personal checks from the company to yourself. Like, right. This is illegal. And he's like, I was just trying to run my campaign.
You mean you don't want to pay for my bumper stickers?
It's my business, my zoo. I can't write the check.
Sure.
I was glad that gave me a pretty good laugh.
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
What's embezzlement?
How can they show
Joe Exotic is in COVID-19 isolation, however,
wow.
In prison where he is. They're not mm-hmm. confirming that he has it, just that he is in, I guess Andy Cohen has recovered from coronavirus, and he was talking to Dylan. He was at the end of that show. You know that Joe Exotic has a fourth husband,
mm-hmm.
and he's saying
is it
that...
Fourth? Is that his fourth?
I think he was his fourth husband.
Wait, no. He had three.
No, because he had two.
He had two at the same time, but didn't he have one before that?
He had one before that.
Oh, okay.
One before that, then the two at the same time, and now this new guy.
This guy's number four.
This last one is hot.
Well, this is the last one. Dylan Passage, taking Joe's name. So, yeah, he said that he is in COVID-19 isolation in jail. Hey, Brian.
Alan.
What up?
Quick nerd alert. There is a major artery in the wrist. It's the radial artery, which is a continuation of the brachial artery.
Oh, right. Nerd alert! Not the ulnar artery?
No, sir.
Oh, boy.
That's why they take your pulse in your wrist, and when you get an IV, it's usually in your forearm.
That is also because I'm very, very protective of my arms in general. Anytime I have a doctor's appointment, I always request that they take my pulse from my taint.
That's a good place, too.
It's a more accurate pulse.
And a little more pleasant.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Brian. I do it because I respect the medical profession.
As well you should.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, there you go. So, the artery, listen, you got to be careful, right? Playing with knives, messing around. David Spade, because After Dark, what's his show? After Dark?
Lights Out.
Lights Out with David Spade. Hasn't been on in a while, so he's just kind of doing, you know, Skype interviews with people. And he did one with that Rick Kirkham guy. The dude...
He's like the reality show producer.
Yes, everybody in this show is shady, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what they're doing, everybody's shady because scumbags attract other scumbags to what they're doing.
A reality television producer is a shady individual?
Well, listen, there are a lot of... When you're at this level, it is. Yeah. You know, there are plenty of people working for...
Every level, it is.
...studios. Rick Kirkham was the guy, if you've been watching Tiger King, that was the black shirt, black hat guy, right?
Drinking an espresso mm-hmm. the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, right.
I said Tommy Lee Jones because we were talking about who should play people. And I was watching, I was like, man, this guy has got a real Tommy Lee Jones vibe.
Yeah, some people believe that he was the one who might have had something to do with the zoo being destroyed or the
fire.
Trailer or mm-hmm. whatever it is. And so Spade was talking to the guy the other night.
It had like a sort of a culty feel to it when they wouldn't leave or come back, you know?
Yeah, you know, there were two separate people in the zoo, two separate groups of people. You have the animal trainers, which were basically runaways, misfits, alcoholics, drug addicts. And then you have the studio crew. We had our own trainer, which were kind of the college-educated, yuppie-type people. And when you mix the two together, it was quite a blend inside, especially when you have 1,200 wild animals and you're getting inside the cages with them all the time.
Now, when you watch Tiger King, one thing becomes abundantly clear. That Rick Kirkham is one yuppie. That guy, boy, he is an elitist of the highest order. But the guy came from television news, believe it or
not. Rick Kirkham?
Rick Kirkham did. because a woman has accused him of being a full-on perv when she worked with him.
Now here it comes. Everything is going to come out because the whole cast is like, oh, this guy looked
like I said, but they're all scumbags to begin with. Right. So everybody who sees these people is like, yeah, this guy was this and this guy was this.
I wonder how much. And is anybody shocked? He's pretty much out of the business already anyway.
Like, what is she trying to take from him?
Well, I don't know.
I'm sure they made money from this show.
This is somebody named Kate. She didn't, I don't think she wants anything, but she's like, Casey Roberts is her name. And she said, if you're watching Tiger King, Rick Kirkham was my news director in Great Falls, Montana in 2013. So it's not like this guy was at CBS News, you know. The man sexually harassed me and tried to destroy my career. Rick would disappear for hours while on shift and take a station vehicle to various watering holes, and then he would drunk text and call the news team at all hours of the night and hand out prescription pills on company property.
Hell yeah.
You sound like a terrible person.
Where's that? We need someone passing out Xanax around
See,
here.
That's the kind
of... You didn't get yours?
That's the kind of... She goes, he's a con man, a predator. Seeing him in my living room felt like such a violation. That's the kind of fun you can have in small markets. Great Falls, Montana. Nobody really cares. You're taking the vehicle out. Who cares?
He's got Oxy on a Pez machine.
Yes.
Just like, yeah, pop one out.
Is she still now at Great Falls? Is she still in that same market?
I don't believe that she is.
Work her way up.
So when they say watering holes, they mean bars.
Bars, yeah.
Okay. There's a hole in the ground, like a tornado.
He's not going to different springs being like, man, nature's just beautiful.
Man, I don't know that. He's
getting drunk on the landscape.
Yeah.
They totally could. Montana's a beautiful state.
Various watering holes. That one's ice cold, but that one's a little warmer.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to look into it.
There's some elk that like to drink from that one.
Yum. And
sometimes moose.
Now, I think now she is in, where is she? She's in Florida, I think. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She is in central Alabama. But, hey, at least she got out of Great Falls, Montana, right? And she only has to look at Rick Kirkham.
If she wants
She's watching Tiger King.
I have to watch.
But I would imagine, I mean, she goes, I'm triggered watching this. And I take her at her word. But at this point, don't people know who's all in this thing? Like, somebody would have told her, oh my God, that guy that used to be our news director is in this.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. I remember you telling me stories about him. She goes and watches it.
Yeah, but you can also be
and
triggered watching it.
The guy's got like, his teeth are rotten out and he's smoking. And
there's, there's scumbags. This whole thing is rife with scumbags that are, like, I don't know Doc Antel, but watching him triggers me because I'm like, this guy is a predator. This guy is kind of a trashy dude.
Because he leans into it.
Yeah.
He's got, like, a bleach blonde soul patch and a ponytail and a hat.
Do you know what bothered me
calls
so much?
Calls himself Bhagavan.
How you were attracted to him.
He like, no. He, like, gave himself, like, a fake culty name.
It means, like, what?
Leader Bhagavan Rajneesh or something like that.
Lord's Warriors. It's something stupid like that. But what bothered me so much about him is I'm like, he could be a decently attractive dude. And some guys have that kind of swagger about them, but I'm like, he's so out of shape. I'm like, do anything. If you're trying to bring in these women and seduce them, can you be a little bit more than this?
Didn't look like it was working against him.
Oh my God. He's riding in on an
elephant.
Some
of those girls he was getting were cute. I like, though, how all these guys now, like Doc Antle and Jeff Lowe, they're all coming out speaking out against Tiger King. It's like, you guys weren't misquoted. You're on video.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they took it out of context.
They
took your polygamy out of context. We took your swinger lifestyle and all your shady dealings out of context. Or is it just who you are and you don't like people seeing it?
Yeah. Wildlife enthusiast. I love that. I'm a wildlife enthusiast. And that's how I get my ladies.
I would be
keeping the wildlife in cages, out of the wild.
But that Doc Antle, though, he was the most legit out of all these people because he had consulted on movies and he'd been on Leno, like all these shows with the animals.
Well,
and,
he had the money to do it right.
Yeah.
He had the money to get the permits, to get the train, to you know what I mean.
He also cuts a lot of corners. But that's why he has those women to work with the animals because he basically has slave labor, and then he also. You know, they're asking him about, like, hey, where do these tigers go when you're done with them? And he's either selling them or killing them.
Well, I'm talking about facility-wise. To keep things up to code and stuff like that, he has the money to do that. I'm not saying he's a good guy, but he's, like, he's not resorting to feeding people expired meat pizza.
But, Mary, think about this, though. You mean to tell me you wouldn't fall victim to Say you're in Vegas, back when you were Drunk Mayor, and you're walking the strip.
And Drunk Mayor would fall for a Taco Bell.
I was like, let me finish. Guy comes by with a big-ass limo. He rolls on the window, has like four girls in there. He's like, hey, Mary, or whatever your name is, you want to get in here and pet my little tiger? And you're like, yeah, whatever, I don't want to do that.
Listen, we're all getting in. There's exactly. Not one of us that isn't.
Exactly. And it was like,
especially if I was
cute, cute little tiger. It was so cute.
And he has an actual tiger in there.
Yeah.
That's a euphemism.
That was Jeff Lowe's business in Vegas, is he had
tiger bus.
He would drive around and put people on this bus.
On a party bus.
And let them play with a tiger.
See,
and
he drove
from different kids to different clubs.
I would be all over Instagram, like, here's my pet.
Here's the thing. I would definitely, 100% get in that car. But
and then regular Mayor's getting in that car.
Regular Mayor's not getting in that car.
No.
I wouldn't get in. I'm not getting into it. No, I am not. I travel alone for a living. I know not to get myself into situations with men by themselves. It doesn't matter what it is. When other people do it, it weirds me out, but I can touch my own. Yes.
What if you're on edibles?
No, when I'm high, I don't make poor decisions, other than snacking. I have never done anything high that I regretted other than eating too much food.
But what if he said, would you like to snack on my tiger?
Tiger chips?
Whatever. Just take a big old bite out of...
But you're not getting taken away or anything like this. You're just getting in and taking those pictures and hanging out with them for a little while.
No. As a woman, I'm not getting into a vehicle with a man.
What if I was with you?
I would feel better if a man was with me. But I would definitely not do that by myself. And even up to a hotel room and stuff, man, no.
People, I'm not going up to a hotel room.
Yeah.
I'm not going up to a hotel
also,
room.
Also, if you get in a car, you're not in charge of where that car's going.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Once you're in there, what, do you tuck and roll out?
To all our men and women in uniform.
I've been a lifelong fan, 20 years in the military, come back, and the Find Your Afternoon show is f***ing horrible.
Thanks. From the Alan Cox Show.
Horrible.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Or 800-348-1007 in here to join us live. 35192 to send a text. If you listen on iHeartRadio from out of Ohio, tell me where you do that. Toby is in Stuart, Florida, listening. Mary is one of our bureau chiefs in D.C. AJ is in San Francisco. Jamie is in Plymouth, Indiana. Not sure if she is still the sole remaining black person in that town, but I think when she moved there, she told me she thought she might be. Brian's in Valencia, PA. Anthony's out in Sterling Heights. Outside Detroit. Boy, Detroit is getting hammered by the coronavirus. It is the third largest epicenter in the United States right now, behind New York and...
Seattle?
No. What's
Seattle's gone now?
I don't know if it's gone, but it peaked. I forget what number two is, but Detroit is getting hammered. Yeah, maybe.
New Jersey's getting hit. Pretty bad too.
Florida, like Miami, isn't as bad as it was, especially with all the laws.
Oh, it's getting there.
It will be.
Yeah, they're
way behind on shutting everything down.
They're
doing it county by county.
I was really surprised. I'm like,
just today, I think, did a statewide.
Same with Georgia. The governor got on television. Governor gets on television and goes, I didn't know. Nobody told me that you could be asymptomatic and spread it.
How am I supposed to? You don't look sick. It's the same people who say that, like, you're not disabled if you don't look disabled, you know?
It's like, well, Governor, that information's been out there since December, so I don't know what to tell you. And, people think it sounds silly, but Atlanta is in Georgia, which is where the CDC is, by the way.
I didn't know they were in Georgia.
So, good gravy.
My buddy.
It's not like Georgia is just a collection of one horse towns and this guy slipped his mind to maybe do something. You have a major metropolitan area there.
My buddy's girlfriend comes from a very, very rich family, and they have like a lake house down near Atlanta in like, I don't know, some kind of a rural area down
Stone
there.
Stone Mountain or Kennesaw or something like that.
I'm not sure, but she suggested to him, she's like, hey, nobody's been in my lake house. Like, none of my family have been there all winter. Why don't we go down there for quarantine? And he was like, no, I'm not going to go. Georgia hasn't put like any restrictions in place or anything like that. And she's like trying to convince him, like, hey, nobody's been down there. Like, it's an empty house that's been empty for months. And my buddy's like making this huge deal about it. Like, I would go down there in a minute.
No, I wouldn't.
If it's, there's nothing down there?
To travel and go down there?
To drive down there in your car.
What if you get there and there's hill rod squatters in your house?
I guess. But I felt like that was safe. I mean, I guess your apartment and stuff, they're in New York City, though. So they're, you want to talk about being in it. I feel like it'd be more safe to go to a location that nobody has been.
If you they tell you, if you were in a major metropolitan area, stay there. Because all these people left New York to go to the Hamptons, or anyone with means fled the city, and then proceeded to, you're just another vector of infection.
Yeah, out spreading it out.
Spreading it out. Even if you feel fine, you don't know. You can't blame people for being confused.
No, I get it.
But still.
I just felt like if it was in a remote location that nobody's been to, you know, do your grocery trip, take stuff, enough supplies with you for 2 or 3 weeks, and go live in a lake house for a couple weeks.
I mean, it's not...
If it was maybe like an hour outside of their city, but having to travel from New York to Georgia, there's just so many
stops on the way.
Interact with people along the way.
Yeah, I guess.
You're walking into a convenience store to get gas.
Yeah, but you have to do that. You have to do that in regular life anyway.
Yeah, well, this is not regular life.
I'm saying, even living in New York, you still have to go get groceries. You're not interacting with any more or less people than you would.
Well, but you're also not taking it out of town. I mean, whatever problem they've got, they're just, that's why they're telling people, just stay home.
Stay where you're supposed to be.
Stay where you are.
Stay home.
Miami University is having to refund, you know, one of the first questions I asked, my son goes to Michigan State, and they basically canceled the rest of the school year about a month ago, and so he's back home now, and one of the first questions I asked my ex-wife was, well, how much money are we getting back?
Oh,
because they better be kicking back this money I'm paying for room and board out there if they're not using it. And so schools are begrudgingly doing that because they don't really have any choice. But that amounts to a lot of money that they hadn't planned on having to give back. Miami University of Ohio is refunding tens of millions of dollars because of the pandemic. Housing and meal plan refunds that will total tens of millions of dollars. They've recalled their study abroad programs, and they have to refund those, too. Those aren't cheap when you go overseas to study. Northern Kentucky University. Who knew that was a thing?
I did. I had a friend who went there who was a cheerleader.
You might want to keep that to yourself. Plans to refund about $3 million in parking, dining, and housing fees.
I bet they tried to do like a rollover. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we'll just credit your account for
option they gave us. They were like, this can go toward next year. I'm like, fine, put it toward next year. I don't care. It's not like I don't need it to come back to me.
Right.
I just wanted to ask the question,
yeah,
when and how much.
Sure that it was not just being kept.
Socked away
because
or something.
When did they come back? Was it the beginning of March? Like, they still had some of this semester in school, obviously. So is it like they're doing half the semester's worth?
Well, what do you mean?
Because, like, the semester started in January to May. So only half the money for this semester they're giving back.
Yeah, prorated.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's a few thousand dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah, it's
You don't
it's
think
all
about
nuts.
How much that adds up to.
Well, we were talking yesterday about NBA players having to give back their money, and some of them, or like sports, like athletes, might have to give back money, and NBA players will because they're not playing the whole season. And some of the players have great contracts where they don't have to give as much back, but then there's a lot that are going to completely lose out.
Is
that
sucks. That's in your contract? Like, hey, if you don't play, you have to give money back? Or is it like
there's
this, extenuating circumstances?
Like guarantees and stuff.
I think with LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Durant is the people that they mentioned in this article, it said that they will eventually have to pay some of it back because they didn't play the games. But they'll get paid it, but then they pay it back somehow.
Huh.
It's a weird thing, though.
Yeah.
Alan, a lot of those New York City jackoffs took it to Northeast Pennsylvania, so the Poconos and all those northern tier counties have all these infections. And I was surprised. I lived there for many years, and Pennsylvania, as I recall, was a pretty well-run state. They just got around to like shutting things down, I think, in Pennsylvania. So everybody's, you know,
more credit to Mike DeWine for shutting things down when he did.
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, he saw it coming and said, hey, let's get ahead of this.
Yeah, my ex-wife was texting me this morning and saying, okay, so they shut all the schools in Michigan down for the rest of the semester. Like, my daughter is in high school, and she had kind of still been technically on spring break. And I think everybody saw that coming.
Yeah.
There was no way that anybody was going to go back to school, but they officially said that people were not going to be going back to school. And so I was kind of like, how's it going? I've been texting and talking to my kids pretty frequently, but I'm not talking to the ex that often. And I was like, you know, how's it going there or whatever? And she's like, I'm at the Mire, and there's a woman next to me hacking up a lung. She's not covering her mouth.
That had to be like, yes today.
She's like, there's these Michigan militia dudes laughing at people wearing masks, and it's like Michigan nobody's... Yeah, these white boys who are overloaded with guns and want to pretend like they're protecting the, you know, the whole Midwest. But basically, you know, so it's like, you know, those freedom ain't free guys,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which in principle, awesome. But the freedom ain't free guys are always the guys. They're just talking about their guns when they're talking about that. When it comes to actually sacrificing some of your freedom for someone else, they're not that into it. So they're laughing at people wearing masks, calling them pussies or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, no wonder they're getting hammered in Michigan.
I wanted to go get a smoothie today, and I walked in, and there was like two ladies ordering at the counter, a little kid behind them. And the little kid's like, just doing little kid stuff, dancing around, you know, bopping around, but just like hacking.
Oh my God.
And I walked in, I saw that, I walked right back out. I was like, I'm not dealing with that. No way. I don't need a smoothie that bad.
I'm going to start wearing a mask. No joke. When I got to go somewhere to get some, I'm going to start wearing a mask.
If you have
one. I got those
guys. Balaclava.
I got my balaclava bill.
Your baklavas, yes.
No, but we still have, I still have mine from when we went to Jamaica. Remember we went mudding?
Oh, yeah.
And we had those things we pulled over
God,
our faces?
I had that too.
I'm going to start wearing
that. Do it.
I don't care, man.
I don't blame me for that.
I feel like everybody, man, if you think it's like overreacting or whatever, fine.
You do you.
I just think people should be doing everything there are people getting thrown out of work. There's all these unintended consequences of being unemployed, right? It's toxic to your health. You know, and Trump gets up there and goes, oh, it's worse for people when they're not. I know what he means. It's not true. But it's really, really bad for your health.
And the unemployment.
When you're unemployed and, oh, my God, you get depressed and then people hurt themselves or they hurt somebody else. Mm-hmm. Or
the unemployment doubled this week.
Oh, my God.
It's insane. Like 6.6 million
nationwide. Just went straight up, you know, on the graphs or whatever. But so, yeah, I'm going to start wearing a mask.
And you know what, though? As far as wearing them, and people say, you know, you look ridiculous, or you this, if you have it, and it gives you a little bit of peace of mind, like, if you're able to go to the store with a little bit more, I'm going to be okay, you know, then
if,
do
or
it.
Or someone
you know?
Else is going to be okay. Like, it's not all just about, and by the way, if you are this far into it as an individual, and there is even an iota of your brain that is worried about how you look, maybe just go in the basement and cement the door over. So we don't have to run into you again. How I look. What do I care?
Yeah.
Who am I trying to impress? You know? So the mayor of L.A., he had a press conference. He put one on. He goes, this is what we're recommending. This is the new look. And yeah, it's pretty weird, but this is what it is. We're going to be walking around like it's China. Okay.
It's fine.
Okay. I mean, other than work and home, I'm not really going places. But if I have to, well, I'll eventually have to go somewhere to get something. I'll wear a goddamn mask.
Tomorrow, when we do formal Friday, we're doing masks?
I don't have
one. No, because we have to talk through them.
Plus, it gets really sweaty after a while. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, for like an hour to the store, it's
you're
not
breathing
bad,
in but your own particulates. Speaking of Florida, what they are or aren't doing, I was reading about a gender reveal party in Florida. It started a 10-acre fire.
Boy or girl?
Listen, man. The fire was a girl.
Mm.
Mm.
Florida is gonna Florida. It's, you know, when you watch these updates and they go, why aren't they doing something statewide in Florida? Because there's too many goddamn guns. That's why. They're literally afraid that people are gonna come out of their house and go, I ain't doing nothing. Pew, pew. You know, there's got to be at the state or even national level, there's got to be a thing in the back of your mind where you're like, there are too many goddamn guns in this country to tell everybody that they can't do what they want to do whenever they want to do it, because there are people itching for some kind of fight. And so that's got to be part of the thinking behind what's going on in Florida. Giving them the benefit of the doubt, there is thinking
a revolution?
Going on.
Hey,
man, how much does it take?
Government?
How much? Well, no, I don't mean overthrow, because that's a pipe dream for people who are heavily loaded for bear. But I mean, like, how much is it going to take?
That thought never crossed my mind.
Really?
Really.
No. All right.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm...
So you're saying that, like, individually, these people are going to be like, hey, stay home, and then the cops come up, and they're going to pull out their gun and be like, I don't have to.
I don't know.
Try to get into a standoff?
I don't know.
I'm asking what was in your head. That's what you imagine?
I'm casting with a broad brush here.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
I'm saying that a country as absurdly armed as this one is... Depending on how far you're going to push people, who knows? You're going to see little pockets of something.
those people are going to get the disease and die.
I don't think anyone's thinking about that if they're
congregating.
I don't know.
Going to spread it.
Yeah, but that's down the road, right? Right now is what people are concerned about. People are very short-term memories of people. You know, I was talking to somebody and I said, I think this is going to go on for a while and it's really going to stick in people's craws. That's what this person was saying. And I go, nope, people have really short memories. As soon as people get an inkling, now it's kind of understandable because we've been cooped up, but as soon as people get an inkling that things are starting to change, they're going to be like, well, going back outside, let's go to the movies, whatever.
I think there's going to be...
I hope that the truth is, as always, somewhere in the middle.
I think it's going to be a lot of people that are very hesitant to go back outside, and then there's going to be the people that are like, yeah, they said the ban's lifted, we can go out, we can do whatever we want. So there's going to be a large group of people that does that, but I still think there's going to be a lot of people that are like, eh, I'm going to be safe, I don't want to get this, I've seen what it's done to people. Because you have people that are dying... that are not, because at first I was like, oh, if you're old, you're going to die. But there's a lot of people that are not old that are dying.
A six-week baby just died in Connecticut. Yeah. So the mayor of, Eric Garcetti is the mayor of L.A., and he was like, now, I want to be clear. The masks are good. Doesn't mean to wear a mask and then go outside and, like, do stuff, you know? So, whatever. It depends. Listen, it depends on how seriously that great American spirit of generosity that we hear so much about, if that's a real thing, or if we just like jerking ourselves off when times are good.
But you got to think, too, though, you just said...
I do that. The unemployment, times are bad, too.
The unemployment rate doubled, so people aren't going to have money to go out, like, in droves like they were. I think you might... The main concern would be for free stuff, parks, stuff like that. We'll probably have a ton more playgrounds, things like that, but people aren't going to have money to go out to dinner two nights a week or every weekend like they were.
No, but most people already didn't have money to do that often.
But people were, I would say, once a week, maybe twice a month, people are going out to dinner.
But there's people that
people aren't going to have money to do that.
I have been a Republican in times good, and I have been a Republican in times bad. I will hit the ground running, come out swinging, and end up winning.
I hope Phil Davison is okay wherever he is. I hope he's sheltering in place, and I hope that he's all right.
A lot of those people, though, their jobs are going to require them. Like, they're going to go back out and have to work in the service industry, you know, opening bars and being servers and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, but I'm saying, like, the people with 9-to-5 and the people who are, you know, I guess those aren't the ones who are unemployed right now.
There's going to be a lot of people that do both. There will be an uptick in people going and doing free things because people are going to be broke. But you're also going to see people that have means that are like, hey, it's over, I can go and do what I want again.
How long will it take you to go to a restaurant? May 1st, right? They say, hey, we've really flattened the curve. We're going to slowly start to reopen restaurants. Let's say restaurants are open by June 1st.
I'm hanging out in my backyard till Labor Day.
You're not going anywhere?
Nope.
For the foreseeable future?
Nope.
Dining in, at least.
The fewer places that I have to go, the
live
happier.
Show, you're not doing any of that.
That was me before, right?
Yeah.
But I do have a wife and a kid who like doing things. So when we would leave the house, it was at their behest. Let's go do something. Cool. Right? And that's the way that it will be again. But I'm never champing at the bit to get out of the house. I work, and I go home. And that is just fine with me. So however long this whole thing lasts, I worry more about my wife's mental health. You know, she's coming up with things to do with a 4-year-old 20 hours a day.
Right.
You know, I get home, she's like, here. You know,
I can't.
Yeah, and I tap in. But I, you know, I'm working all day or whatever.
Yeah.
So whenever they go, well, okay, we'll start easing people back in, I ain't going anywhere. But that's just me. You can't blame people for wanting to get out and, you know. So, and summertime, I mean, if you have a yard you can hang out in, that's a good thing.
Well, that's what I was saying last week, that I'm actually, and we've said that it's good that this is happening this time of year. If this started in October and people were locked up in December, January, February, I feel like we'd have a lot more self-harm
about. Again, it could go either way because people, at least in the Midwest, people already, you know, the parts of the country, the weather didn't really change, you know what I mean? Like, if it's December in L.A., it's still 70 degrees and nice. But in the Midwest, people are already largely kind of hunkered down for those months.
But you can still go do things.
You have the option of doing things.
Yeah, you can go to the movies. You can go to dinner.
Right. Like, that's a busy...
What? Ew, yeah. No, hey, oh, out, man. Get, go He's home, man. Go home.
That was a phlegmy one. It's okay, just one.
He got COVID-20.
The
But those places that are indoors, that where people go out, like a comedy club, those mm-hmm. are the busiest times of year.
Oh yeah. For those, so. And what I'm saying is that I'm glad that people have an outlet. You can go for a walk.
Right.
When it's -8 in January, you can't go for a walk.
But you never even got that close to, like, did it even go negative at all?
No, I don't think so.
No, not this year.
Below 10 this year.
Not this year.
I was reading worst box office weekend in however long, right, since the 20s or something,
mm-hmm.
and that the box office take for this past weekend was $5,200.
And how did that even happen?
That's what I said. I go, what movie theaters are open?
Oh, Florida and stuff. Who are going county by county, I bet.
And they only mm-hmm. made $5,200?
I bet.
Not everyone in Florida is going.
Any new releases either. Like, they're not releasing anything.
Yeah, thanks, Vin Diesel.
Well, no, they still put, like, those movies in theaters, right? Like Onward and Deadshot.
Yeah,
and
but those all came out 2-3 weeks ago.
And if they're not open, no one's there to maintain the movie theater.
And a lot of the movies, like, the chains are closed. Like, AMC, Regal, Nationwide, they're closed.
Yeah.
So they're not going to.
There's like tiny.
Make any money. So it's got to be like small independent theaters that are doing this.
$5,200.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see here. Well, I got a couple more minutes. Let me play this guy. This guy in Pennsylvania. Maybe it's good they just shut down. You know, you remember a couple of days ago that pastor in Florida who got arrested because he said, "I'm not going to stop having people come to my church." Mm-hmm. He's got like thousands of people there, and they finally walked him off in handcuffs because he wouldn't stop doing it. This guy in Pennsylvania, he's like, I'm going to do a huge Easter service. Like, he's trying to stick up for the dude in Florida.
Yeah.
On his own.
We're going to hold an outdoor Easter blowout service. Not online. A national gathering. You can come from all over, like Woodstock. And we're going to gather and lift up Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like Woodstock. Remember how much religion was in Woodstock?
Jesus Christ was going to happen.
Ah, yes, Woodstock, where the hand of Jesus touched so many people.
What if that's what these pastors are doing? That they're like, hey, everybody wants to meet Jesus. Let's all gather.
Listen,
you get sick. Yeah. He's like delivering people.
That's exactly.
Well,
delivering you from evil.
Yes.
You know that's what it is.
I know, but I'm saying, like, that's where they're like, hey, if you're ready to meet Jesus, whatever.
Yes.
Let's go meet him.
That's why evangelicals don't like science, because they can't wait for this world to be over.
How many?
They can't wait for the next one to show up. That's why they don't care about the planet, don't care about anything else. All this painful business of living as humans and acquiring knowledge and science, they want nothing to do with that.
They want people to die so they can send them to God. that's what I'm saying.
They want the next thing that's coming.
Yeah.
So they're like, I don't care, whatever.
Also, I have a theory. How many old people that are that dedicated to the religion have it in their will that any money that they have goes to that church?
Oh, I bet
oh,
a
so
lot.
So you think they want them to kill off the old people to get the coronavirus?
Yeah, but it's killing everybody. It's not just killing old people. I mean, right. I could buy into that if it was old people, you know.
But old people are the most susceptible. And those are the people that
would still go to church.
Go to these churches. So I think it's a pretty good theory.
Like my brother and sister-in-law, they go to a pretty big, pretty like one of the hip churches, you know what I mean? So they have like their
hip
church.
Churches.
You know what I'm doing. You can wear jeans, you know, or whatever.
Come as you are.
Hail Satan!
You can wear jeans, but you can't be gay.
Right, right, exactly. But they have their services on a live stream on Sundays. So they can stay home. They still like have the girls do a live stream Sunday school every Sunday. But the old people aren't going to do that.
Yeah,
they're not
going
to have a live stream.
Hey, thanks for listening to and watching this episode of Church. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the word of God with the boys.
This episode of Church.
Yeah.
Oh, it's another rerun. Oh, no.
White people go to church. Black people go to church. There's a difference. And it's like 5 hours long.
Oh, God. It's like I used to date a Greek Orthodox girl in college. And the service was like 3 hours long. I was like, how do you guys get through this? She's like, just wait. And then everybody would go downstairs and get hammered.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Afterwards, you'd get hammered and eat goat and all kinds of awesome food. And I was like, oh, I get it.
No, this makes sense.
So you guys just ride through that to get to this?
We just had 3 hour church and then no booze.
No, my auntie.
Most places had no booze.
Yeah, that is not, that's not a good trade off there.
My auntie's church, you would go, I think it started at like 8 o'clock. You would go till noon, had an intermission, then you would go back, and church would end around 4:30.
Intermission?
Yeah,
man.
You had lunch.
Oh, yeah, we'd go to lunch and come back.
Have your hat laundered?
Yeah.
+1 657 8 1007 or 800-348-1007. You want to send me a text? 35192 and alancockshow.com for a whole bunch of other things. You can watch live there, of course. Poundcake's latest piece, his pound take, is called Get Out of Your Head. Unfiltered, unvarnished,
unedited.
Unedited, unredacted. It's all there in glorious Technicolor for you. Have you ever thought to yourself, well, sure, I hear you guys every day, and so I feel like I know Poundcake, but now I lie awake at night staring at my own ceiling, worried that I don't.
Speaking of that...
Well, now you can dig in there.
In here now.
Okay.
It's what?
It's 80.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Nothing we can do about it.
I can mention it.
You cannot bitch about it, because I get yelled at every time I bitch about how cold I was, so you're not allowed to talk about how warm you are.
Alan makes the point that we can't...
We've done everything we can do. We've done everything we can do, so bitching about it's not going to change it.
But it's 80.
It is 91,000 damn degrees. I am sitting right next to my air conditioner. Right next to it. It is on the lowest temperature on the highest damn speed. Okay? 64 degrees and it's on turbo. What do I need to put this bitch on? Power Ranger? I did not sign up for this. When I prayed during the winter months, I asked the Lord to make it warm. I did not say, Lord, please bring the devil from hell and have him sit his ass crack on earth. That's not what I asked for.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what I requested.
Also, I feel like our commercial breaks are like YouTube commercials where you can click past them in 5 seconds.
Right. Skip this ad.
Yeah, pretty short. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Alan. How's it going?
Eric, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
So I got a funny story about Mary's brother.
Which one?
I went to high school with the youngest brother.
Okay.
Kyle?
Kyle, mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, so I went to school with Kyle, and I had biology with Kyle, and we were getting ready for a pep rally one day, and on one side of the sign, he wrote, you know, go Braves, go, or whatever, and on the other side of the sign, he wrote, shave your muff.
Sounds about right.
This is a Jesus-y brother?
Yeah.
They're Jesus-y now. Both of them are, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, it is the last refuge of the scoundrel.
That's my only story that I got.
Okay. Well, there you go.
He went on the other side. Shave your muff, man. Got it. Yeah, I got to go find Jesus.
Both my brothers were hooligans before they got saved.
Well, that's usually how it works. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, you know what? I need a clean slate, and I don't really want to do the work. Jesus!
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. Well done. Now, whatever. I don't know them. I'm sure they're very, very nice.
They're very nice. Mm-hmm. Someone moved into the basement apartment.
Oh, your former place?
Mm-hmm. I already rented out.
How did they get
He's
somebody in there?
Dude, so he put up the sign. It's cheap, and it's a nice area, yeah. And it was gone. I mean, I moved up there mm-hmm. 2 Fridays ago. So in a matter of 2 weeks, he already got somebody down there.
Did you see? I mean, it's not a bad apartment either. It's small, but it's affordable.
Choppy. It's small. It's for one person. It's
nice.
Fine.
Yeah, it was. It's like well taken care of.
I have a feeling we're not going to get along.
Why?
Because they smoke cigarettes.
Oh, I thought it's because they're black.
No, they smoke cigarettes in their apartment, and it's coming up through my vents, and I hate it so much. And I know their house.
You knew. Something was going to screw you out of this place.
Well, that's what
Be
I was like.
Be careful what you ask for.
Because I was laying there. I got
Smoke
home.
Can only go up.
I
Where
got
you
home.
Were, there was nobody Mm-mm. underneath you.
I got home last night, and I walked into my apartment, and then the whole place smelled like cigarette smoke. And they've had a U-Haul there for the last couple days. And I walked in, and I was like, what the hell? Did I leave a candle on or something? And I'm like walking around, and I didn't leave anything on. And then I was like... I knew it. Like, that's... So they're moving their stuff, and I'm like, I guarantee they're smoking inside their apartment right now, and it's coming up and getting in my house, and it's driving me absolutely insane.
Does the landlord allow smoking?
I have no idea.
I was going to say...
Should I tattle?
Yes. It's been barred for so long inside, like, establishments that my first thought was... Are you allowed to smoke in your apartment?
In your own house, you can do whatever you want.
Well, it's an apartment building, though.
In our apartment building, there's a rule. You are not allowed to smoke inside... of the building.
It's not your house. It's an apartment. It's a space you're renting in someone else's house.
Yeah.
That's what an apartment building is.
Well, so now I have
But if the guy... And we even have a... Like, this is a condo. and you still can't smoke inside the building.
Like, you own your condo. Yeah, you gotta buy them.
But he probably just wanted to get somebody in there, probably knows he smokes, and you're gonna be butting your head up against this guy, and he's gonna go, he got to do what he wants to do.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, is that I'm like, now I'm in this weird position where I can't prove it, but my apartment didn't smell like cigarette smoke the last 2 weeks. Somebody just moved in, and now my entire apartment smells like cigarette smoke. And
you gotta get more information.
I have to get more information, yeah. Because I'm like, I'm not gonna go,
there are filters you can put in your vents,
right,
that will help.
And I can't go down there and be like, hey, can you not smoke?
You can go down and ask. Go, hey.
But then I'm the bitchy neighbor.
Well, not bitchy.
Is it a man or a woman?
I've seen two, like, it looks like a younger couple.
Oh, a couple is what it looks like.
Yes.
Wait it out. They'll be broken up in no time.
Yeah, quarantined.
They're quarantined in that tiny apartment.
That's such a small apartment for two people to live in.
There's going
to
be a murder-suicide in the next 3 weeks, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Not only that,
it's like
who moves during a quarantine?
I moved during a quarantine, but it was in the same building. That's why I was okay.
Yeah, you moved
with
a couple of flights up.
They full on moved.
They came from somewhere else bringing God knows what with them into your building, into your sanctuary,
and
where
smokers.
You go to play with your toys.
Yeah. So I was like, now I'm in this weird position where I'm like, is that the first impression I want these people to have on me? Where I'm like, hey guys.
Not even
cigarettes
that.
Cigarettes are kind of coming up here.
No, like, do you guys smoke?
And then what if they say no?
Cool, I was just looking to bum one off somebody. And then you go back up into your little hole.
Good.
Yeah. Hey, wanted to welcome you to the neighborhood. Funny story, I used to live right here. And I was coming down to blah. That's
yeah,
too much.
It's too much.
It's too much information.
That's a good out. Because I'm like, what if they say no? I'm like, oh, I just wondering. You know what I mean? I'm such a bad liar.
You
that's
say,
my thing.
I'm starting...
To smoke.
I'm starting to smoke.
This whole COVID-19 thing and how it's bad for your lungs. I'm like, you know what else is bad for your lungs but makes you look cool? Smoking.
Listen, never underestimate the power of looking cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, granted, this might not be the ideal time to begin something that can harm your respiratory system. This might not be the best time to compromise your immune system. But God damn it, this is America.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then after that whole monologue, they go, well, we don't smoke. Okay, I just want to check.
I saw, like, there was, like, an old middle-aged woman who was talking with my landlord maybe a week ago.
I'm just curious.
And then it's, like, the younger couple that I've seen moving in.
What do you consider middle-aged? Be very careful how you answer this question.
Probably.
For Bill's sake.
Probably.
He has parents.
Probably. She's probably in her 50s.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, good answer. Annie. I have to ask you, youngins, some middle-aged bitch. She was probably 43 or something. I don't know.
But she was the one who was, that I saw, like, with the landlords. And then over the last few days, it's been, like, a younger couple. It's, like, a white girl with bright red hair and tattoos and a Mexican guy with a neck tattoo.
Oh,
and...
both of those sound like smokers. Both of those fit the smoking profile.
Yeah.
Redhead with tattoos. Mexican guy.
Neck tattoo.
Oh, boy.
I was so pissed last night.
Just go down there and go, hey, I just want to know if you guys smoke, because I smell something weird, and I know you... I don't even know how you do it.
That's what I'm saying. How do you even breach the subject?
I think you can
do
it without...
break in, Mary.
I think you can do it without being bitchy, though.
Should I be like the little kids?
Exactly.
Yes. Go all around and look
through the window.
You should tap on it or throw a rock and be like, oh, hey, like, I used to live here. Be like Pennywise and just peek through the window. Like,
I know all
no,
the...
No, that's yeah. creepy. You pay one of these kids. And those
I took their home.
No, gone, I know yeah. they're gone, but there are other kids in the building, yeah?
No.
Oh, those are the only kids in the building?
No, the lady across from me is a single lady, and then the two dudes in the other ones are both single dudes, and then the stab and cabin, yeah, and then my old place.
Single dudes?
No. You know what, though, while we're on the subject? I'm a little concerned, because my old neighbor who is across from me is, like, the weird old guy that I never saw, who, like, tried to steal my couch when we were moving it in. I told that story on air. He was like, that's my couch! And we're like, it isn't,
yeah.
You know? He's got a pile of newspapers outside his door.
Oh.
Wait until you hear a smell.
Maybe that's the smell.
If I hear a smell.
smell.
Yeah. If I hear the
listen,
smell,
once you can hear a smell, it's too late.
What's a wrong with this fresh air? I can hear smells now.
And I feel like you're a smell.
All this natural light.
That's the first thing to go when you get the COVID-19 is your sense of smell. Maybe he can't smell himself dying.
So, well, because the laundry area is right by his, like, his back door. Goes into the boiler room where the laundry room is, right? And I went down there to do laundry over the weekend, and he has probably like 8 or 9 newspapers. Mm. And I was like...
Dead.
Not that he's maybe dead, but he might just be like,
maybe he just doesn't
want to
read the news. It's so awful. Maybe he's ignoring the news.
Or if he's so quarantined, he's not even opening his doors. So even if I
maybe
were to knock... Oh, he might be hospitalized. Because he was an old dude. I don't know if he has any family. I mean, nobody lived with him, but... That's another one. These are the things where I'm like, do I take this upon myself? Do I knock on this guy's door and open that can of worms?
So many mysteries to solve in your building.
There's so many mysteries. What would you do? Would you knock on the door? You see a stack of papers. You know he's an old guy.
No, I tell the landlord and be like, hey, check on that guy.
The landlord doesn't care.
Oh, no, I'd not.
The landlord tried to convince me the disease was gone. Remember that?
Hey, so you got some newspapers.
Corona is gone.
Is it fine?
Corona's not gone. It just started.
it's a gone. It's a... Yeah.
So you would knock on his door?
Hmm?
You would knock on his door?
Yeah, but then I'd run.
That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't stick around.
You would just knock on it to see if he answered?
Just when you're doing laundry, just be really loud when you're doing laundry to see if it gets him to come out and be like, hey, what's all that racket?
Just singing?
Mm-hmm.
Swing it alive! Boom, boom, boom! See if he comes out?
Yeah, play to his old man... stereotypes and see if he comes, it's making all that racket. Who's waking up old Peppermint?
I'm sorry, old Peppermint. I just saw there was a bunch of newspapers outside your door.
I don't want to read the news, frankly. It does nothing for me. It's all bad news. Why not good news, like Teddy Roosevelt's around and getting tattoos on his chest?
Are you okay, though? I just wanted to make sure everything was okay.
I'm fine. The landlord just told me that Corona's gone, so I'm skippity-dee down the hallway.
Skippity-dee.
22 skidoo to you.
Yeah, 23, whatever it is.
So investigate the smokers. Make sure the old man's not dead.
Boy,
those are
I
on
bet
my to-do
you didn't,
list.
I bet you didn't realize you'd have so much in-house work to do.
Mm-mm.
Over at the domicile, over at Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago. Things are heating up.
And you got to put together that TV stand, too.
I got a TV stand off Amazon.
This
is a big, big weekend. I ordered a TV stand off of Amazon that weighed 110 pounds. So Bill came over today and helped me carry it up the stairs.
Because it could just be coincidence that those people moved in and now you smell smoke.
How?
Well, it could be smoke. You've got more windows now. Maybe it's smoke from somewhere else outside. Maybe someone is smoking outside on the tarmac, the driveway,
in
the parking
house,
lot.
It's in the apartment.
Huh?
It could be, but my windows weren't open. So if someone's smoking outside,
that's
gonna come in?
It's pretty pervasive, man.
Mm. I think if it's coming up through the vents.
That's what
know.
I thought, because my whole apartment. And
you smelled
I'm
it in the vents?
That. No, it was my apartment that smelled like it. Like, as soon as I opened my door, I was like, it smells like smoke in here.
Did the landlord come in to check anything in your apartment? Does he smoke?
Not that I've seen.
Because it would be all over. Even if he wasn't actively smoking,
right.
You could smell a smoker coming from a mile away. Maybe he was in your apartment checking something.
Not that I've seen.
While
he
you
didn't
were gone.
Tell me he was going to stop by.
So you haven't said anything.
Smelled that before.
I've never smelled it before.
You haven't said anything to him.
No. This just happened last night.
Then ask him if they smoke. He would know, because if you're a landlord and you're doing your diligence, you ask them if they smoke.
He doesn't ask anything.
New theory.
Ready.
So he just lets anybody move in?
I don't know. He didn't ask me if I smoked before I moved in. It wasn't on my lease agreement not to.
I mean, they ask if you have a pet.
They do ask if you have a pet.
But they don't care if you smoke.
It wasn't a box that needed to be checked.
It's his building, or he's just the super?
It's his building.
It's his building. Mm-hmm. I would think if he owns the place, he'd care if people were smoking.
Yeah, you'd think so. All right. There's the couple, or the lady that has it as a stabbing cabin.
Yes.
After you have sex, what do you do?
Ooh, and I would have never smelled it before.
Because it was going up.
Because I was below her.
Mm-hmm.
Could
pretty
be.
Pretty cliche, though. But it's worth investigating.
It could be.
Next time you smell it.
I could definitely see her lighting up a cigarette in bed.
Yeah.
She's a little saucy piece. She is. She's like,
saucy
she's
piece.
Exactly what you think a woman who drives a Mercedes and is cheating on her husband looks like. Like, you know what I mean? She's like thin and wears yoga pants and like, you know what I mean? I could see that.
You could see her smoking after getting...
Here's what you do.
Ready.
The bottom
first,
knocked out.
And the bottom drops.
check your lease.
Okay.
See what it says in there about that. Smoking.
Yeah.
Right? And then you... ask him to find out if they smoke.
Ask the landlord.
Yeah. You go, hey, listen, my place is... Just start with, my place has smelled like smoke for the past couple days. Is anything going on? And he'll go, no, nothing is going on. Mm-hmm. And then you'll go, well, I know new people moved into my old place. Are they smoking?
Yeah.
You can also call non-emergency police and ask for a welfare check for your neighbor if you care that much.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I was just... My next question was, what about the dead guy?
Tell Mary to lie to the landlord about having asthma. She has the more expensive apartment, and it would be harder to replace her as a tenant.
And I've been there for 2 years. Hmm. That's a good excuse to get him to start poking around.
Yeah.
I think if you just mention it, I doubt he wants them smoking inside.
Because if it was them in the first floor and it came all the way up...
Yeah, then it's going to be...
People are going to have a problem with that.
Lots of them.
What if what you're smelling is the guy's body on fire? What if he's just a pile of smoldering old guy?
It's just like simmering?
Yeah, just sitting there. Maybe he lit a cigarette.
Died.
Fell in his lap. Burned his...
Clothing.
Nether regions. Did you hear anybody screaming?
No.
Oh, my crotch! Anything like that? Crotch. No, no!
What if it's just cigarette...
Oh, my balls!
What if it's cigarette-scented candles?
Do they make those?
I don't know.
Yankee Candle rejected line?
Stanky Candle makes those.
Stanky.
It could be. He might have passed out dead with a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah. Alan is a healthcare worker, and seeing what I'm seeing, I would absolutely check on that neighbor. Is there any chance that the old guy's name is Corona? And when your landlord said, Corona is a gone, he was already...
He meant that apartment was also vacant.
Mm. Yeah.
Is there still a for rent sign?
No, they took the for rent sign down.
Wow. Well, if there are newspapers piling up, you're probably not the first person to notice it.
Yeah. And it's right by... The only reason why I did notice is because it's right by the laundry.
If he did die, how does it make you feel about your building?
I remember... I don't have to live there, remember.
But it's still the same structure.
And I said, as long as it's not a violent murder death,
okay,
I'm okay with that.
So what if he...
If he's just old and he died, that's going to happen. People are going to be old and die. Don't even get on this trying to convince me that my building's haunted. I'll kill you guys.
Maybe. What if he died? There's a ghost in your building, and that's what
and
they
smoke. And he's smoking cigarettes as a ghost? Because he doesn't have lungs anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Perhaps, Mayor, you have somebody that is, like, living in your house and you don't know.
In my apartment?
Like, there's
crawl spaces.
Stories all the time.
There
are
no crawl spaces in my apartment.
There might be. You need to check your bathroom, every last tile, because it might... One might push out and might lead to like a little cellar door, and there's a man in there eating like, I don't know, Cheez-Its. He comes out.
In the wall.
He only like comes out.
Cheez-Its eating Cheez-Its, you know.
I like how one tile leads to a cellar door. If you could squeeze in there, you could find a man eating Cheez-Its.
One tile falls off, and you pull a handle, and then the whole wall opens up.
Okay, that makes more sense.
My guess is they'd be living in the ceiling, and then they would come down during the day when Mary's not there.
That's true. They do know your pattern.
Sit on the couch. Smoke cigarettes, just have a time, and then they know when you get there, boom, back up in the ceiling.
I think Mary would be more pissed that she had a secret room that she didn't know about. She's like, wow, more space, rather than somebody living
in. This place is a deal.
Is there any chance that the old guy...
Put some two short curtains in here.
Is there any chance the old guy moved out?
His car's still there.
How do you know what he drives?
We all have spaces.
Oh, that so are his, yeah, associated three, yes, with your apartment.
Exactly. So his car is still in his space.
Okay. Then he's probably dead.
And here was what was weird. He normally would pull his car in every time I've seen it. It was backed in this time.
Maybe he's in the trunk. Maybe someone put him in the trunk.
Or someone drove him somewhere and backed it in for him.
Let me ask you this.
And then killed him. Left him in the basement.
Let me ask you this. Did he have any enemies?
He tried to steal my couch, so if that's his demeanor, I would assume he probably has an enemy.
Did he have
any story again? Because that was...
You don't remember this?
I don't remember.
So this was when I first moved in 2018, summer of 2018, when I moved into my apartment. I was having issues getting a couch that fit through the doorway, a couch that was narrow enough. So I ordered a couch. It didn't fit. They had to get it back. A friend of mine was like, hey, I have a couch in my studio. He's a musician. He's like, I have a couch in my studio that we don't use. I'll bring it over. And I was like, okay, cool. So him and a couple of buddies...
You didn't measure the doorway before you ordered a couch?
That's the problem with this, is that I did measure the doorway, and all the measurements worked out, and twice it didn't fit once it got there.
Okay.
So my buddy brings the couch over, and him and another guy friend of mine are moving the couch in, and I'm standing in the hallway, and my neighbor comes out, and he just goes, "That's my couch." And my buddy, whose couch it was, looks at me and goes, "No, it isn't." He's like, "This couch just came from my house." And then my neighbor goes, "Well, I ordered a chair offline." Like that. And my buddy was like, "Okay, cool, man." Like, he's holding a couch while he's saying this. He's like, "Okay, cool, man. This isn't it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. This is her couch." And then he just went back into his apartment.
What a great way to get furniture, because you figure maybe one out of every 20 people will think that it's your couch.
Like, if they were just movers. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, "Oh, yeah, we thought it said one. It must have said two."
That's my couch. Okay, where do you want it? Right over there.
Another
one.
I related it to Mr. Heckle in Friends.
Yeah.
Where Mr. Heckle's like, "What does he say? Like, that's my monkey," or whatever. And they're like, he steals Ross's money. He's like, "It's not your monkey." He goes, "This is my monkey. His name is Bubbles. I've had him forever." Like, "This is my monkey. What are you talking about?"
What if the Invisible Man is in your apartment and he's a smoker? Bill has seen the film, The Invisible Man. It's terrifying, good. Right?
It's very upsetting.
Could the landlord be letting himself in to check your drawer of unmentionables in your bedroom? Is the smell stronger near your panty drawer is what I'm trying to ask.
He goes
not that I remember. Not that
so
I
he
recall.
Goes into your room.
A lot of variables.
Smells your panties, has a wank, cigarette, beats it.
Literally.
A wank and a cigarette. Ah, you caught me having a wank and a smoke. Sorry.
You know what, though? He threw the rosary on the ground. So the landlord, it's all adding up. The landlord throws the rosary on the ground, right? Now, I haven't seen my neighbor. There's unexpected cigarette smells. This could be a spirit.
Haunted house.
Yeah. Everything you thought you wanted, it's all coming crashing down around you.
A lot of theories.
It's what you deserve.
I think.
It's what you deserve.
Is this my fault for not taking the rosary with me?
Seems like it.
Deserve. I'm trying to better myself. I'm like, "Oh, a bigger apartment. I'll buy a new TV because I'm a grown woman."
I'm just hating.
You deserve it. How dare you?
I'm mad at my mediocre article. Don't mind me.
Lash out.
That wasn't
I think you should keep writing this because eventually they're just going to become like, "I have this friend and it's all going to be stories about us, but like thinly veiled. Like, I had this friend and she was just a jerk and then she got her rosary and blah blah."
Yeah, I don't know why you're not writing up Poundcake's Cody's conspiracy corner. Yeah. That's what those should be.
I'm going to do this every week. I'm going to make a habit to do it every week, so they will be different. My mind goes crazy places at all times, so I'll have plenty of material. This I just had to get this one out of the way,
right.
And you know, we'll
I believe in you.
Next week brings.
I'm being informed the Smoldering Old Guy show was rescheduled for November at the Agora. I like them.
Burning crotches.
I like their old stuff. Yeah. Well, listen, there, boy, there's a lot to cover there. So
there's a lot.
I would start with your super and go, "Hey, do those new people smoke? Because I've got a strong..."
I would start with the old guy that might be dead.
I didn't know there was a non-emergency police. I think I will definitely call them and be like, "Hey, I have this, you know, neighbor who's elderly. I haven't seen him in a while. Newspapers are piling up. Can you guys come check on him?"
Just go to your landlord and go, "Couple of things."
"Hi, just a few things.
Newspapers, potential dead guy, smokers. Check it out."
"Are you trying to make us all uncomfortable?" "Well, it's weird, it's not right, it's not cool."
And there's plenty more where that came from. Back to the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
216-578-1007 or 800-348-1007. Another 10 minutes away, almost exactly 5:30 is when I'll have another $1,000 for you to win. If you need it. If you want it, I mean, obviously everybody wants it. Some people really need it. And obviously those are the people that we're certainly focused on and hoping win that. So 5:30, 6:30 are going to be your next two chances to win. And I think 7:30 and 9:30, last two of the day with Corey Roddick later on tonight. Saturday night, you will hear it here on MMS. And it will be live on Channel 19 and WTAM. It is a live telethon on Saturday night, 8 until 11 p.m. on CBS 19. It's all for the land, COVID-19 relief, live. A lot of us involved with this, some people from the Cavaliers and the Monsters, a lot of local luminaries as part of this, and hoping to generate critical support for the United Way of Greater Cleveland, the Food Bank of Greater Cleveland, a lot of other local organizations that are impacted extensively. So there's going to be music and interviews, and it should be a good time. Bill and I are a part of this, and Josh Cribb's going to be part of it. I know Michael Simon's in this, and members of the Cavs and the Monsters, and, you know, there's going to be music and all kinds of fun stuff. So it's live Saturday night, 8 to 11. You'll hear it here on WMMS. You'll hear it on WTAM 1100, and you can watch it live on Channel 19. But if you go to WMMS.com, you'll get all the info on it. And then tomorrow, here on the show, it's a formal Friday.
Can we encourage customers to do it with
Absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely, yeah.
I would love to see you guys all formally dressed up, curl your hair, do your makeup, and send us a picture. Tag us on Instagram.
Just
that would be so fun.
Just in a way of... I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was like, I don't think I've taken a shower in a month.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, listen, you know, this is kind of a way to get your brain around that, and you feel better if you dress, you know. So you can send us your pictures if you're going to do Formal Friday with
us tomorrow.
I would
love, love, love if you guys did that. We'll share them all to our Instagram. It'll be cool.
Now, don't send Mary a picture of you in a suit. With the barn door open and the horse trying to get out, Bill. We don't want those.
Of all the defects I've received, nobody's ever been in a suit.
All right, there you go, guys. There's your door.
Yeah. Coming out, usually coming out of stained sweatpants.
Right. Don't even take their underwear off.
What were you getting into before I had to break?
I don't remember.
Your haunted apartment? Was there something?
I called the cops in the break.
You did?
I did. And they said they'll send somebody over to check on him.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They asked me his name. I was like, oh, boy, I don't know. Like, I feel like...
Mean old couch stealer.
Yeah. Old peppermint. No.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they said they'll send somebody over.
He should have said, that's the sound of the police! I believe he's known as Old Peppermint. I don't know his real name, but I heard him referred to as Old Peppermint.
Alan, I have a question. Why are some gas stations telling you you can't bring in your own cup, you have to use theirs?
Your own cup.
Well, yeah, they don't want you bringing stuff from home. They don't know where your cup's been.
Contamination.
Do people normally fill up their cup at gas stations?
Yeah, like if you bring
a thermos,
like a Speedway or something. Yeah, no, these places they've taken out their the places by me. Like, there's no donuts. Mm-hmm. They don't have any food that you can grab that's like unpackaged. There's no hot dogs on the roller.
Right.
So yeah, they don't want you bringing in your own cup. I assume. They've got cups there. They're like, use these.
Use those.
We don't want you bringing in your COVID-19 container.
It's the same reason grocery stores said no more reusable bags. You can't bring them from home anymore.
Yeah. After that huge push to get people to bring it. You know, life's pretty funny, isn't it?
It's ironic. That's a new song, Alanis.
Yeah. No good deed goes unpunished. I think that is the takeaway from all this. Bill and I have watched it, not together, although that was my request. The miniseries Pandemic over on Netflix, which was shot before all this happened and was ready to be released. It was purely coincidental that this was released. I don't think they released it early. I don't think that they changed anything. But it came out at a time where a lot of people were just like watching it out of morbid curiosity. Because it follows a bunch of different people who are tasked with following and attempting to mitigate pandemics around the world. So there's guys with the CDC. There's this doctor in New York who's head of, like, I wonder what she's doing through all this. I would love
to
see.
She's on TV.
Is she?
I haven't seen her on television.
Okay.
I've seen a few of them.
I was going to say, all the people in this are probably more high profile than they would have been otherwise. And so they're being asked to contribute to all kinds of shows. This guy, Jacob Glanville, who was he's the guy that was running the lab in Guatemala, and he had that foxy assistant. Not assistant, she's a doctor in her own right. This is the guy that was trying to work on a universal vaccine. He runs a company called Distributed Bio, and he's been working on finding antibody therapies. Like, we should just be able to come up with something. Rather than being focused on Ebola or the avian flu, he's like, there's always something that's going to pop up. And so he was focused on trying to find a universal vaccine. And he says that a development in that direction is imminent through his company. That they've taken five antibodies that were determined to stop, neutralize, and block the SARS virus. And because COVID-19 is just a version of the SARS virus, he says that they're hoping that it'll do the same for that. He runs a company called Distributed Bio. And I'd love to play his clip.
You should then.
Boy, I'd sure like to, Bill.
I say do it.
Hello, my Jake, team has successfully taken five antibodies.
So, that, you know, since they both start playing at the exact same time on this machine.
Team has successfully taken five antibodies that back in 2002 were determined to bind and neutralize the SARS virus. And we've evolved them in our laboratory. So then now they very vigorously block and stop the COV2 virus as well. It's sort of like a short-term vaccine, except it works immediately. It could take 6 to 8 weeks to take effect, where this is going to take effect within 20 minutes. You could either give it to a patient who's sick, who is experiencing COVID-19, and then within 20 minutes of receiving the shot, their body's flooded with those antibodies. Those antibodies will go surround and stick all over a virus and make it so it's no longer infectious.
There you go. That's cool. Wow. That's really cool.
The whole time.
You're Wolverine.
Yeah, Sarah Ives is the doctor that works with him, and she's super cute.
Why does that matter, Alan? Also, what was her name? Sarah Ives?
Sarah Ives, yeah. Because, like, an epidemiologist, like a foxy doctor, boy.
Nothing does it like that for you.
That, I'll tell you what, that's just a knock out of the park. But
brains and beauty.
Watching that pandemic on Netflix, you're focused on that guy because you're going, boy, I hope this guy really comes up with something fast. Because that's what everybody's looking for in the government, is they're looking for a magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't really want to do the work of whatever. They're just hoping and praying that there'll be some kind of magic bullet. And maybe this guy's a little bit closer to it. A lot of people have been posting, hey, by the way, when all this is over, just legalize recreational marijuana in every single corner of the United States, and the economy will be back in no time flat.
True.
They're not wrong.
I mean,
except it's an all-cash business, and banks won't take that money. Maybe that'll change, too.
Yeah, that would change real fast if it was legalized.
An amendment.
Nationwide, yeah.
Federally legalized. Yeah.
My friend tweeted that. She was like, if you want us all to stay in our houses and stare at the wall, you need to legalize weed. Like, that would make quarantine so much easier for so many people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hopefully it's going to change a lot of perspectives on certain things. Hopefully it'll up funding for, I don't know, pandemic response or whatever. But mm-hmm. there are a million other little things, too, that might not be considered.
Just how we deal with healthcare in this country, how mm-hmm. we classify essential personnel. Like, there's a lot of people out there doing what's considered essential work, and they don't have health care at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, these are minimum wage workers. They shouldn't be able to make a living, get a better job. Hey, they're taking care of you right now.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
You're out of work, and they're still working at Drug Mart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Saw a kid unpacking lettuce or something mm-hmm. at Giant Eagle, and I was like, A, gonna stay away from that lettuce. But B, boy, he's working hard. And good for him. You know I'm not the little boy that I used to be. I'm all grown up now, baby, can't you see? Stacy's mom has got it going. You remember this song, yeah? Stacy's mom?
Fountains of Wayne.
Fountains of Wayne. This is the only song that I knew of theirs. But Adam Schlesinger was really prolific. He did a lot of film music work. He wrote That Thing You Do.
Yeah.
He wrote the O'Neaters song from that Tom Hanks film. And Adam Schlesinger has died from complications of coronavirus. He was 52 years old. I know there were people that were way into Fountains of Wayne. And I just never got into them. But I remember Stacy's mom. That was a long time ago, I feel like.
Yeah, that was 20 years ago almost.
Yeah.
And he was nominated for an Oscar and a Golden Globe for that theme song to That Thing You Do. Which was 1996. And
it's a fun movie. I haven't watched that in forever.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I've never heard of it.
With Tom Hanks, who's the 60s.
I love Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. I'm on record as loving Tom Hanks.
No, that's a good movie. I think you would really dig it because it's about a band that blows up in like that Beatles era. And it's fun. It's good. Good movie.
So whereas Tom Hanks recovered from the coronavirus, Adam Schlesinger did not.
Such a bummer.
And he got sick very recently, and went downhill very fast. If you follow Sarah Silverman on Instagram, she posted, she's heartbroken because she's like, I'm in a hotel room in New York because Adam and I had been working on music. And he started to feel sick a couple of weeks ago. And then it just got worse from there. And now he's dead. So Fountains of Wayne fans, obviously very, very upset. All I knew of their music was Stacey's mom, but I knew that he was a really renowned guy for songwriting and producing and things like that. And so, just another guy who, you know, came down with this, but he composed very extensively for a lot of TV shows and a lot of movies and things like that. I don't know if he was married or anything, but he certainly had a lot of friends. A lot of friends who were performers and were fans of his and whatnot. And if who was the girl in that video? Who Stacey. Was Stacey's mom? But who was Stacey's mom?
It was someone.
Stacey. No, who played Stacey's mom?
It was.
It was somebody famous. Was wasn't
to,
it?
To Billy Joel. What's her name?
No, Christie Brinkley.
I think so.
Really?
I'm not sure.
Who played Stacey's mom?
Is she there or is she no, Rachel Hunter.
Rachel Hunter.
She was married to Rod Stewart for many years. Yeah, there you go. So, I don't know if...
Yeah, this is a very different... No, she was in Parks and Rec. She played Jerry Gergich's wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that, great. Yeah.
Yeah, she looks fantastic.
Who, Chrissy Brinkley?
Yeah.
Yeah. The high water mark for me, and not a lot of people know about it, but Adam Schlesinger was part of a super group called Tinted Windows. I don't know if anybody remembers this band. It was over 10 years ago. But it was James Iha from the Smashing Pumpkins. It was Bunny Carlos from Cheap Trick. And it was Taylor Hanson from the boy band. And they all got together and wrote some songs. And called it Tinted Windows. And it was real good. But it didn't really do anything. They might have done a handful of shows, but, you know. So, yeah. Also, by the way, and obviously this is probably a lot less heartbreaking for some people than others, than obviously Adam Schlesinger dying, but Sprint has died.
Oh, wow. They couldn't make it, huh?
What? Sprint is no more.
As a corporation, they're gone.
They were acquired by T-Mobile. So
this has been in the works for years.
Okay. Yeah. It's finally come to fruition.
I can't believe T-Mobile beat Sprint. I don't know anybody who has T-Mobile.
Well, they made their...
you do.
Me. Wow, no wonder they had to buy other people. I don't
T-Mobile
know. T-Mobile
benefited a lot from PR, though. They had that, like, their CEO was the long-haired dude, mm-hmm. the pink shirt, and I'm cool, you know, and they had super cheap plans, and, you know, so they got a long way based on the way that they ran that company, and Sprint had been having a hard time for a long time. So for people who complain that there aren't enough cell carriers in this country, now you got three!
So T-Mobile, AT&T, and Verizon.
Verizon, yeah. So, yeah, Sprint absorbed by T-Mobile, and so, again, you're hard-pressed to find anybody who's going to shed a tear over their cell provider going away. But, you know, Sprint was part of the American landscape for a long, long time.
They just started it. They hired the Verizon guy to be their guy.
Hired the Verizon guy.
And now they're gone.
Yeah, I don't think that ever took off for them. But
yeah, because no one cares about if you can make a call anymore. The whole Verizon guy thing was like, hey, can you hear me now?
Good.
And I was like, hey, did you get my text?
Did you get my D? Good. Did you get my D?
Can you airdrop? Is it illegal for Verizon to buy everybody?
Yeah, that would be a monopoly.
It would be.
So even if the other companies were struggling, Verizon's like, I can bail you out. I can buy your company.
No.
That would never happen.
You have to have competition.
I don't know.
The government will make you sell stock.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. It violates antitrust laws. But, mm-hmm. I mean, again, I'm surprised at the mergers they do allow to go through. Because you don't have to have one company to have a monopoly. Obviously, that would be a literal monopoly. But when you get down to like two or three providers, that's essentially a monopoly.
Right.
You don't really have the choice that you used to have. But again, there were always like regional carriers.
So it's mobile.
Where you at?
All right, what do I get now? What are the perks of having T-Mobile? Do you get, like, Hulu or something? What do they got?
No clue.
You get the phone number of somebody who used to have Sprint. So you have to change your number, but you get something new.
Ask the four people that have T-Mobile, and they'll tell you.
A lot of people have T-Mobile.
All right, listen. That's how you're not allowed to talk about what phone plan people have.
Your mom pays for your phone plan.
A phone plan. You are a hanger-on.
I'm not a hanger-on. We got a family plan. It's beneficial for all of us. Whatever I need to. She never asks.
You don't pay for your phone.
I could.
I mean, AT&T used to be singular.
Mm-hmm.
And T-Mobile for a long time, I was kind of surprised by this, because for a long time, T-Mobile was standing on the street corner with a skirt hiked up, boy. They were trying to get bought constantly.
Hey,
I love that analogy. Boy.
Hey, big boy.
What do I got to do? Stand on the street corner with my skirt hiked up? Yeah. Trying to get bought here.
Yeah, T-Mobile was trying to get sold off to AT&T.
That was just their slogan. T-Mobile, you need a little company?
Yeah.
I'll sign your document.
So, you know, and for a long time, Sprint was like where you'd go if you had less than perfect credit. You know, they would sign anybody up, boy. I mean, when I was in Michigan 100 years ago, we had Nextel. Anybody remember Nextel?
Yeah, because
it was the chirp, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. then
what we had all growing up because my dad had it for work. Because
they made those really hard phones.
They were like walkie-talkies,
that's
too.
That's what we like that was the phone that I first had, and I was embarrassed by it because it was
so huge.
It was a block.
Yes.
And it was made for work. Like his, and it was yellow.
Had a yellow one?
Yeah, I had a yellow because that's what my dad had for work.
Yeah, to be able to see it.
You had to be able to see it.
My phone was so ugly. I had a Boost Mobile one, too, because it was super cheap. And, like, talking and text weren't really... I mean, they cost a lot, but when you could, like, chirp and use the walkie-talkie, which I don't know who thought that was a good idea for, like, young kids to have a chirping feature, but it was. I just remember it was really inappropriate. Because
I remember it being in movie theaters all the time.
Well, my brother would chirp me in class. So he'd be like... I can't even say the word, but... Big ass N-word, and he would be like, go off in class. I'm like, oh my God, sorry, it wasn't me. Yeah.
Chirp you in class.
I had North Coast. I talked about this a couple weeks ago.
We had U.S. Cellular Illinois. Mm-hmm. I mean, all kinds of regional carriers.
Yeah, my
I don't know how that works into this framework. I guess these are the big ones, but there are a lot of those regional carriers.
It only worked in...
What happened to Revel?
216-330 and
became like Cricket, and then became
Cricket Wireless. Yeah. That's right.
I think
that's
North Coast became Revel.
North Coast,
they were just mergers. And
I think I had Revel for a minute before we went to. Was there something with an A?
Revel was like based
in
here.
Cleveland. That's
no
what North...
in Independence.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I had that. I had North Coast, and then I think it was Revel, and I want to say there was something with an A.
Altel?
I remember Altel.
I think I had Altel.
I definitely had Altel.
Yeah, I remember Altel.
Rebel, I had Altel until, like, college,
Rebel
I feel like.
Rebel sold to Sprint. There were all kinds of regional carriers that sold themselves to Sprint.
Yeah.
Rebel was one of them. Yeah.
My black little flip phone that said Altel on the front.
Yeah, Altel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep.
Man, I wish I could find those.
Yeah, anybody who has a box of old phones, which is most of us because they have no resale value, you just throw them into a box. You flip them over, you'll have all those old carrier logos, Singular and all that stuff.
But I don't have the chargers for them anymore to like boot them up and read old texts or
had
like
some
old
weird
chargers.
That's why I kept all my chargers.
Mm. You have a box of chargers?
No, I have a box. My old phones have the charger wrapped around them.
Oh, that's smart.
Mm. I'm a smart guy.
Look at you.
So if I ever want to boot up an old phone... And depress myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look how skinny I was.
No, but it's interesting that that's where your head went, was a picture. No.
The first thing I would want to see would be what pictures I had on old phones.
Uh-uh. People who are no longer in my phone, going through my contacts list. But it's interesting that you immediately went to pictures.
It's interesting you immediately went to people you deleted out of your life.
Well, the cameras were stunk on those phones anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's
all I have is pictures of Bigfoot.
Right. Yeah, these weren't like high-def cameras on flip phones.
That's the fun of it.
So the camera itself, to me, I don't care. I probably took 5 photos on my phones back in the day.
Pixelated boobies?
Yeah, I bet there's some underage mare somewhere out there.
God.
Just pixelated on an Altel flip phone.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Tonight at 9, a new episode of Underage Mayor. It's Underage Mayor.
Now people are going to start going to, like, try and find those phones.
Yeah. But why would you leave them on there? Like, you would have to delete that evidence.
No, I mean, I don't think there were any on my phone.
Plus, if you power it down and get a new phone, throw it in a box,
right,
who cares?
A couple iPhones ago.
Yeah.
I don't even know where any of these are. These got burned up in the hoarder house.
Wow.
Burned up. They just gutted the place.
Mine are all in a box. I still have my very first cell phone. Got it when I was 25, wow. 26, something like that.
What were cell phones like in the 40s?
Had the pull-out antenna.
Mm.
It was just a little black brick, and it had the pull-out antenna. It was probably Nextel.
I still prefer a car
phone. Did it have my dad's first cell phone, I remember. Did yours have the piece of plastic that flipped down but didn't do anything? Like, it just protected the buttons?
Yeah, I had one of those.
My dad had that, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought it had a microphone at the end of the...
I think some of them did, but some of them didn't.
It just looked like that piece was unnecessary to me. It protects the buttons from dust or whatever. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you could throw those through a window.
Oh, yeah, it
they were matter. So tough. They'd stay charged for 8 days.
Right. And it was like, how do you put that in your pocket? Like, you have to have, like, a case for the phone.
Well, it was on
pants,
the belt.
Pants were baggy in the 90s.
You had the holster.
So, yeah, you had the holster, or you just had big pants. Like,
oh, my God, I remember the stupid holsters.
I mean, nobody under 50 had a holster. It's like if you're walking around a job site with a hard hat on, you had a holster. But
my dad.
I was going to say, your dad would be a holster guy. Yeah. Because it worked for work. To join us live, or 800-348-1007. 35192 to text me another $1,000 that you can try to text another number coming around 6:30, and then the Corey Roddick Experience after that. Joe in Philly, what's going on?
Yo, what up, guys?
How are you?
Hey, so every time I hear about these bigger companies getting bought out and you talk about antitrust, I get a little worried. When was the last time antitrust laws were actually enforced in this country?
I was talking about that a while ago. Like, in addition to white-collar crime barely being prosecuted, they really seem to have weird choices when they go in on antitrust. I mean, it's almost like it's a bygone era that they even pay attention to it.
Right. The last, like, big case I remember was, like, Time Water. And that was, like, late 90s, early 2000s, maybe?
I mean, that might have been a front page one. There have been plenty since then. It's just that, boy, the ones that they choose...
There's just not enough big companies doing stuff like that for them to go after, Mal.
I guess so. But also, like, the choices that they make, whether or not to block, seem really, really weird to me.
Right, and, like, I'm only, like, certified in bird law, so, like, the whole antitrust thing is just way over my head, so it's kind of like...
Yeah. Hey, have you been paying attention, since you're in Philly, have you been paying attention to the whole Hanneman University Hospital thing?
Dude, that guy is a scumbag.
So Hanneman University Hospital in Philly, the guy who owns it...
It's Hanneman, by the way.
Hanneman, this guy, Joel Friedman, this is a hospital that is closed, but it's got 500 beds in it, and the guy who owns it won't open it until Philly pays him $1 million a month in rent.
Yeah.
And then could get a huge tax break from this stimulus package.
Yeah, so the story is he bought that a couple of years ago and just basically ran it into the ground so he could prove that there was a loss on it so he could actually close it.
Sure.
And it helped them out a little bit in the tax breaks, but and then since it's been closed, now he's like, hey, pay me all this money. And Philly was like, you know what, go shove it. And, you know, after a couple of months of kind of trying to negotiate something. And it was kind of funny because, like, my dad's a Irish Catholic, kind of racist, anti-Semite kind of guy.
He checks a lot of boxes there, Joe.
And so we were having this conversation a couple of weeks ago. He goes, you know what? The guy's a Jew. And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? He's like, he doesn't know. He just wants to do business in these times. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm like, yeah, the guy's a shrewd businessman.
Right.
But you know what? The city told him to go shove it, so they're going to figure something out.
Right. Well, yeah, he's a private equity guy. You strip it for parts and then try to sell it to somebody else.
Did your dad call the show a couple times yesterday?
No. All right, be safe,
guys. All right, thank you. There's Joe in Philly, whose dad doesn't like the Jews, apparently, all that much. Yeah, did he call and call himself Ryan yesterday, by any chance? One of the Trump guys screaming at me?
Right.
You're not listening.
Yeah, so a bunch of people. I got a lot of mail last night over the Trump people who called, flailing to come up with an excuse for why their guy wasn't doing anything. Alan, yesterday the guy said that Trump banned travel from China, but he never did that. He said that American citizens were allowed to return home and didn't have to quarantine themselves. Yeah, there were a whole lot of misunderstood facts on the part of the people who called the show yesterday for the better part of a half an hour, who, I don't know, I was hoping perhaps they could illuminate the situation for me. But it wasn't really in the cards for them. They're too busy waging war on reality to bother with the coronavirus, I guess, but what are you going to do?
He is a wartime president. War on facts.
I thought you were on his side.
Oh, I said he's your guy. Right here. Yeah.
He's your guy.
War on fake news, am I right?
I just like to, you know, butter you liberal tards up a bit.
First of all, it's libtards. He doesn't even have liberal tards. He can't even get the stupid buzzword insults down. Liberal tards. I like that.
Did you see somebody emailed us and suggested the phrase Magaloid?
Yeah, Stripper Scott.
Was it?
Yeah, that was his.
Oh, I didn't know that was
and
his.
Yeah, he kept hitting me up with it. He was very mad that I didn't throw it out there. I'm like, it's not gold, baby. I mean, what do you want? Magaloid. There you go. Well, I don't even know about that, but like, it just didn't scratch my itch.
So this email must have gotten to me late because you guys didn't say anything.
You were the last line of defense. He's like, maybe I'll hit Mario.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I got it. Yeah, it didn't tickle me.
What a menace.
Oh, what a menace.
What a menuse that guy can be.
I just can't. All right, we don't have to go back to it.
No, we can't. It's the end of the show.
It just doesn't. I can't believe you typed menus and didn't see menus. That's what blew my mind, is that you read menus as any other word.
Yeah.
No explanation.
What could I say? There is no explanation.
It also means that he has never seen the word menace.
Yeah,
that's true.
He hasn't seen it in The Phantom Menace. He hasn't seen it in Menace to Society.
No, don't be a menace to South Central while drinking juice in the hood.
I watched the movie Dennis the Menace. I remember.
Dennis the Menace. So how did you come up with M-E-N-U-S for Menace?
I don't know. I have a brain fart. I don't know. I don't know.
I was more on the other side of how did you not read that as menus? You've definitely read 100 menus. How did you not see that word in the menus?
I was thinking menace in my head, and I didn't really... The spelling, once I put it on there, and there was no, you know, spell check underneath it, no line underneath it,
okay.
I took it as gold.
Must be good.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't even think about it. I know I've seen menu on every restaurant I go to. I've seen menace from things that just throughout my life. So I don't know. I don't have an explanation for you. I'm just stupid. That's it.
I think you are rushed.
I wasn't rushed. I did this over the course of 2 days. I started it on Tuesday.
Yeah, but if you were going back and, like, proofreading it before you sent it to us, you would read that and go, oh, that's menus, not menace.
But what I was explaining to Mary in the hallway, I'm like, you don't necessarily have to have a trained eye, but I wasn't looking for errors. I mean, I was reading it back to myself, and again, in my head, I'm reading what I think is there. So I did. There was no line underneath it.
So you wrote it. You wrote it. Read it again.
Mm-hmm.
Read menus as menace.
Yes.
And you read it a third time or just a second time?
I read it a third time because.
So when you read it the second time, what were you looking for?
I don't know.
Traditionally, when people read something, they're looking for misspellings.
Do you read it out loud or do you read it to yourself?
I read it out loud. I read it out loud, and I said it as menace. And I don't have an excuse here. Like I'm sorry. I just don't. It was a typo and a stupid mistake.
It's fine. I'm not as hard on you, but the idea of reading it out loud and seeing it as menace or seeing menus and reading it as menace is really funny to me.
Yeah, it's funny,
especially since that movie Menace to Society has computer love in it. The song Computer Love is in the movie Menace to Society. Is there any connection there? Menus to Society?
I don't think so. It's been a while.
to your face I see.
Oh, my computer screen.
Oh. Now I want to see Menace to Society again. That's a great movie.
I haven't seen that in
that I haven't seen
25 years. When did it come out?
Yeah, who was the kid that was in it? He's a big deal at the time. He had the braids. He's been in other stuff for a long time. Not Omar Epps. Lorenz Tate, right? Isn't Lorenz Tate in Menace to Society?
Might be.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, it is a fascinating bit of brain fart there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a brain fart. I how do any typos get through? There's people, and this is on
professional. It's a good question when spell check's running. And
yeah, I'm just one person, but think of, and I like to think of myself as a professional, but I'm not a professional writer. But there are times where I've read publications like a magazine or a book or whatever, and there's a typo in that, and that's the writer getting it wrong, that's their editor getting it wrong, that's the publisher getting it wrong, and no one seemed to correct it. So, and there's no explanation for that because you have all the resources at your disposal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't
know. And you're right. The spell check wouldn't pick it up because it just thinks it's menus.
Yeah, but usually even when you like mess up like sentence phrasing or if your sentence is a fragment, it has like the green line. So usually it corrects it like, did you mean this? It didn't even do that. It was just like, whatever, it's your menus for tonight. So
all right. Your menus for tonight. Yeah, okay.
Well, just stop being your own worst pessimist.
I am my biggest pessimist.
I played you that clip of that doctor from the Netflix miniseries Pandemic, who in the miniseries he's been spending a long time working on a vaccine that he hopes will be a universal vaccine. These are people who chase these pandemics around the world, whether they're limited to one continent, whether they make their way over here. There's a part of it where they talk about how Ebola got over here. And that wasn't a big thing because those people, the people who were in charge of those things, were prepared for it, and they knew where it came from, whereas coronavirus, they never started testing people, so they don't know where it started here. Or, you know, Seattle was like the big first hotspot, but they didn't test people. Detroit, because they are blowing up, are going to be the first city to deploy a new test from Abbott Labs, which will show someone in 5 minutes, if they have COVID-19. City of Detroit got the Abbott Labs tests yesterday, and they'll be using those. These are one-shot tests. I mean, did you see the doctor on Fox News, by the way?
Yes.
Where I don't think they got out of him what they thought they were going to get out of him. They usually have doctors on there who take a rosier view of things because that fits into kind of what Fox News is trying to do over there.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a doctor that was pretty blunt about what's going on, and the anchor wasn't quite sure how to follow up with him.
Yeah.
So at the end of this,
lets him go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what we hear every night is that there are millions of tests available, and yet we don't have that pinprick blood test that you can just sort of get, you know, at your local doctor and know in 15 minutes.
So the fact is, we knew about this when the WHO went December 31st, 2019. So last year we knew about this. We knew coronavirus is coming. We knew it was a respiratory disease. We knew it was person to person. Why is it that it's this week that the FDA finally approved these kind of new Abbott lab testing, which, by the way, is one test at a time? That's wonderful, but it's not the same volume that you really need. We needed this months ago. You look at Korea, South Korea and the U.S. had their first official confirmed case on the same date, January 19th. Mm-hmm. That means since January 19th, you look at what South Korea did and what we did. Their population is 1/6 of ours. Look at the cases they have. Look at the mortality they have. It's a trifle compared to what we're dealing with right now. Because we've had a very weak response, and they had a really strong response.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, thank you.
get him out of here.
Normally, I chalk it up to just the delay, but there wasn't a delay at the beginning of the interview. Mm. So, yeah, it's I don't know what you do with that if you're over there at Fox News. But, boy, I never thought I'd see the phrase, if only America could do as well as Singapore. But that's what you're seeing.
Also,
with response to coronavirus.
Side note: did you know that Dr. Fauci is how you pronounce his name?
Dr. Anthony Fauci.
He had to beef up security because people are like not believing that he is telling the truth. Like, he's trying to save America's ass, and he's getting death threats.
Well, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about people who... All those people who called me yesterday to scream at me or whatever, you know. Well, it could have been 2 million people. They keep going back to this, it would have been 2 million people if Trump didn't do anything. As though... But they're telling me as though 2 million people would have changed their minds about him.
Nope.
Which it would not, I assure you. And he would have been perfectly happy not doing anything. If he didn't do anything, this would have happened. He didn't want to do anything. At all. That's why I kept telling people it was nothing. And it'll go away. It'll magically disappear by April.
Once it gets warm, it's fine.
He had to be dragged kicking and screaming into any kind of response whatsoever. And so this Anthony Fauci, you know, you never thought you'd see a time where the scientists and the people, like Poundcake said, who are trying to save your ass, are being called, you know, deep state plants. But they got nothing else. That we the Dunning-Kruger effect, it's coming up a lot recently. Stupid people think they're smart.
Mm-hmm.
They can do a lot of damage in a situation like this. And I think Trump fans know what a moron he is. And that's why they're getting mad at doctors. It's not that they think he's doing an amazing job. They know he's dumb. That's why they're getting mad at the doctors. Because anybody who actually knows anything, anybody who is an expert, is seen as a threat.
Also, when we give credit to Mike DeWine for doing a good job handling this in Ohio, how come there's never anyone attacking you over that? When they go, oh, it's just because you're a lib, what you call him?
He called a liberal tard.
Liberal tard, yeah.
Like, there's, when someone does a good job, I feel like you give them credit. Mike DeWine did a good job in Ohio.
Oh, trust me, I have liberals hitting me up, pissing and moaning that I complimented Mike DeWine.
Well, what about all the other stuff he did that was awful before?
Yeah, again, just like all those guys calling me yesterday going, well, Obama. I don't care about Obama. He's not the president now. Mm-hmm. And I don't care about what Mike DeWine did before. I care about what he's doing right now.
This is the major concern right now.
Listen, he's so good at putting everyone on lockdown because he already did that to women's vaginas last year.
Mary Santora.
He knows what he's
standing
doing.
Standing up for women's rights.
Guys. He knows what he's doing.
Nobody's saying the guy's perfect. There were a lot of people before now who couldn't stand Andrew Cuomo. But the guy, when
but
you
he's
are...
got his nips pierced, and that changes minds.
Yeah, he changed
pierce
my mind.
Pierce dream catchers.
I've seen my leather stallion. It's all good.
When you're put in charge of something, or forced to be in charge of something, because the people at the very top got the thumbs up their asses... Well, you either step up or you don't.
I hope they wash their hands.
I mean, whatever you think. And trust me, when all this goes back to whatever, there will be plenty of time to complain about Mike DeWine's other policies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we will.
Well, whatever.
Well,
I'm saying
I'm not a big fan of Mike DeWine, but I think he handled this situation well.
Yeah.
He showed great leadership.
And we're desperate for that.
Nobody's 100%.
Right.
Right?
I was a big Obama guy, but he wasn't 100%.
Nobody's going to be.
He did tons of drone killings and, well, 80-20 with
no,
Obama.
I was saying
his parents,
white
his
and
mates,
blackness.
It's okay.
Oh, my God. So, I mean, you can't blame people for being confused. You know, they go, well, most people have no symptoms. And then they go, well, now it's airborne. Well, wear a mask. Well, don't wear a mask. So,
stay home.
Just stay home.
Stay home.
And you can't blame people. Some people don't trust the news. And you can't even fully blame them for that. Somebody on MSNBC was complaining about the whole 200,000 people dead, and they were calling it Trump's stated goal is 200,000 dead.
Oh, my God.
Well, no. He didn't say that his goal was 200,000 dead people.
That's the projections based on the information that we have.
So that's unfair, too.
Yeah.
And that's if they do everything right.
But, and again, they're not doing everything right. So, who knows? But I thought it was very strange. Those dudes that were calling and screaming at me yesterday kept throwing out, well, it would have been 2 million people. A, you don't know that. Even the current charts and stuff that we see, you kind of have to take with a grain of salt. They're like, well, best case scenario is 100,000 to 200,000 people. I saw they just bought 100,000 body bags. So I guess they're preparing for later rather than preparing for now, if that's what that means. I don't know. Don't know what that means. I saw in New York State, they're paying prisoners $6 an hour to dig mass graves. Because they're like, well, we didn't prepare before, so now I guess we have to unfortunately prepare for after.
Well, because we're in the, it sounds stupid, but we're in the during.
We're in the shrimp now.
We're in it. What? So you can't go back and change what you didn't prepare for. You're like, well, I got gotta do something with all these dead people.
Right.
You know?
The mass grave thing makes me very uncomfortable.
No doubt it makes everybody uncomfortable.
Because it just seems...
like, so old-timey.
We just put them in... Yeah, exactly.
Very old-timey.
I think of World War II. Yeah. That's what I go to is concentration camps. Whenever I hear the term mass grave, that's what I think. Is just big hole in the ground, line them up. Not that they're shooting people, but that's the image that immediately comes into my head.
Well, yeah, because this whole thing has taken everything back to that time, kind of.
Also, why are they, like, can't they use construction equipment to dig holes? Why are they using prisoners?
No, they need them something to do. They're probably trying to get them out, get some fresh air.
What the?
Are they all going to be close together?
They're all already close together.
All right, hold out your shovel and make sure you say a shovel's distance apart.
A shovel's distance apart, that's right.
And don't you be coughing. Inmates.
Don't you be coughing.
So,
women be coughing.
I don't know how you get on television and tell the American people that they're going to have to come to grips with the fact that it may be 250,000 of your countrymen and women who are going to end up dead. I don't know how you do that, but that's what they're, you know. And the scientists are like, look, I don't know what to tell you. This is what we're looking at. This is what we're looking at.
I hope they're wrong. I really hope it is fake news.
Everybody hopes that they're... It's not even a matter of it being fake news.
I just don't want it to be real.
I just want the projections to be on the lower
side. Yeah, of course. It would be... absolutely. There isn't a person in this country who wants them to be higher. Right. Everybody wants them to be lower. But, yeah, I don't know. So... when we were talking before about, like, when everybody gets the high sign, who's staying home? I'm staying home.
I'm staying home. I already stay home. I ain't changed my routine much.
But it's like what Bill said. There's people who cannot stay home. There's people who have to go back to work in the service industry.
No, I understand. I understand.
People, you know what I mean?
Like, not everybody has that flexibility.
Yeah.
Hey, who knows?
I'm worried about people being broke.
Of course.
People being unemployed.
Of course.
They'll be in great company, though.
Who? No, I'm saying that these people aren't going to, that restaurants workers aren't going to have jobs anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, we might not be here in June. What the hell
do I
know?
Say that.
What do I know?
You don't know?
I'm not going back to bartending.
I won't. Try stripping.
I'm not going back to scraping dough off the bakery floor,
Mary. You don't want to be a scrapist again?
No.
That was a dark time in your past?
I'm a reformed scrapist.
Mm-hmm. You can walk down the street, Mary, hike your skirt up and wait for someone to buy you.
Like a Sprint? Or T-Mobile?
You can pull a Sprint on them. Want to pop in? I got a tiger.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink, unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.